The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. The wild man of late night radio, Ian Lee.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio. On air and off the leash.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good evening, dear listener. The late night alternative. Thank you, George Galloway. It's I like following George more than James, because George has the studio very, very cold. James has it quite warm. George has it icy cold. And I like that. Slightly different start to the show this evening. You're welcome to call in for the first half an hour or so, but only really if you've got anything to say to my first, let's be honest, my only guest this evening. Let's use the shorthand that you will know him by. It's CJ, formerly of the TV quiz show Eggheads.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you, CJ.
Nice to be here, but it is a little cold in here.
Well, this is, I've put the heating up 3 degrees because I didn't think you'd like it as cold as I do. We worked it out. It was 2004. It was on the Radio 4 show Loose Ends.
Yep.
I was kind of the guest interviewer, and you were on, well, just plugging Eggheads.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just before the second series. Was actually wonderful to come in, because I'd listened to Loose Ends for years, and there was Ned Sherrin in the flesh. So it was great to come on. But I was actually terrified, because I don't know if you remember, but Joe Brand was one of the other guests at the time.
Well, who else was on that? Because I don't remember. Joe Brand.
Niz Loppy. The one
Niz
Wonder
Loppy
Band.
They were great, Niz Loppy. My dad's got Bruce Lee or something. Yes, the JCB song.
JCB, yeah. Oh. And Jo Brand was there. I was chatting to her, and I was saying, I'm really nervous about this, because I've never met Ned Sherrin. I don't know what he's going to be like, but he was lovely.
Here's the lovely thing about Ned Sherrin, right? And I wish I'd spoken to him more. I wish I knew more about his history than I did. I've since found out. I must have done that half a dozen times with Ned. And this is how old-fashioned he was, and what a gentleman. Every time I did it, the next week I'd get a postcard from him thanking me for going on the show. Mm-hmm. What a gentleman.
Yeah, and when that arrived, that was absolutely wonderful. Little signed postcard from him. Something you wouldn't expect.
Did you get one?
Did you? Yeah, all the guests got one. It was fantastic.
And everyone used to, and this was on BBC Monday, everyone would go down to the pub afterwards. Yep. Mm-hmm. And what a classy guy.
Absolutely wonderful.
You will not be getting a postcard from me. You might get a tweet.
Oh, thanks. Well, I've got a cup of coffee, so I'm happy.
Got a cup of coffee. It's nice to see you again, man. And the reason you're here is because one of my listeners kind of atted me and said, I don't know if you've seen that CJ is having a bit of bad luck, to put it bluntly. And I just wondered if you could do anything. And quite often when people suggest guests, I don't really look, because Catherine and I have got a really clear idea of who we want. But I thought, oh, okay, I remember CJ. I remember him being a really nice guy when we met. I'll have a little look. And it didn't take long, didn't take much Googling.
No.
To see the past 3 or 4 years have been lousy for you. Before we get to that, let's just go back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about you as a young man. What was it like? Because you changed your name to CJ.
Yeah.
You kind of almost created this sort of. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that.
Well, I grew up in South Yorkshire. Not the most enjoyable of childhoods. I mean, I probably wasn't a very easy child. I was quite difficult, didn't fit in.
Yeah.
But the people who I was living with, those the man and woman to whom I was related, never got on with them. Should we say my liberal views were somewhat at variance to what they thought.
Really?
So at the age of 17, I left and started sleeping on the streets, and I was homeless and sleeping rough for 3 years. In London, Amsterdam, and eventually in Cologne, in Germany.
When you say your liberal views, was it your sexuality that they...
Certainly sexuality. Let's just say there weren't many modern ways of looking at people with different coloured skin, different sexualities.
Right.
Lots of things which didn't sit very well with me, and it wasn't an environment I was happy in.
Yeah.
So for me, even though it was a horrible and tough decision to make, I was actually happier sleeping on the streets
than
it was the the preferred option. Yeah.
Okay, so 3 years homeless.
Yep.
How did you turn that around?
By a complete stroke of pure luck. Yeah. I was begging outside a bar in Germany on a Friday night. This guy came up to me and said, have you ever thought about modelling? And I thought, What?
Wow.
What sort of fool are you?
Yes.
But I thought, well, maybe it's a roundabout way of offering me a bed for the night. So I thought, no, I haven't. But he said, well, here's 100 marks, as it was then. I've got an office in Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
If you're interested, come and see me on Monday morning. So
incredible.
I spent a little bit of the money on a bed for that night.
And I was laughing, not because you're not a good-looking guy, just because it's such a strange thing to say to a homeless
completely
person.
Completely serendipitous. Yeah, yes. Out of nowhere, just came up to me, and it turns out it was completely genuine. I went along to his office in Dusseldorf on the Monday morning and stayed with him for 4.5 years.
Isn't that incredible? And got work, obviously.
Yeah, I was working pretty much non-stop, travelling to some nice places.
Now, there are different types of modelling. What kind of modelling?
It was runway work, so just walking up and down wearing nice clothes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny what you can make money doing these
completely
days?
Completely out of the way. It's almost as ridiculous as being a professional quizzer, really.
Okay. The reason I'm kind of just rushing through the early bit of it is because that's not really what we're here for, but I just think it's good to get a bit of context. So, okay, so then the journey from modelling to... You were one of the better eggheads. You know stuff.
Yeah.
Have you always been quite, I don't know, bookish or you know, full of
trivia? I am not just a geek,
stuff.
I am king of the geeks.
Yes.
It was one of the reasons I never really fitted in at school. I was the kid who at 12 had a briefcase.
I
read encyclopedias for fun. I wasn't popular. But I've always had this love of reading, of learning.
Yeah.
I've always said, I love learning, I don't like being taught.
Yeah.
So formal education, me, did not get on. I had a really rough time at school.
Yeah. I was not the nicest kid at school. And kids sniff out difference.
Yep.
They see difference as weakness. They see intelligence, to a certain degree, as weakness.
As a threat.
Yeah, completely. And anybody that dares to stick out for whatever reason, you know, is a target, you know.
I put my little head above the parapet.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I did the ultimate geeky thing and I won the school chess championship. I mean, how much of a target did I want to paint on my back?
Oh, mate, I started a chess club, you know. It doesn't help, does it?
No, and so, I mean, I got through that, but learning and taking in facts was something I always enjoyed.
Yeah.
And because I got onto Eggheads... Because I was noticed doing other shows. I think the main
as a
one
contestant.
Yeah, I was a contestant on a few shows, but the main one was The Weakest Link, and I got on there, and the other contestants clearly saw me as a threat because, despite being the strongest link throughout the game, I was the third person voted off.
Unlucky, I won it when I was on it, but carry on.
But I, as a true professional, I prepared what I was going to say in my post-game interview.
Yeah,
and I went into a rant.
Did you really? Good for you. Well done.
I said, it's pretty obvious they're all idiots. They're all off my Christmas list. I hope they never win another penny. And I hope them, their loved ones, and all their pets die horribly in freak yachting accidents.
Well, blimey.
It was fantastic, and that got me noticed.
Right.
So they invited me back for a Bad Losers special for The Weakest Link, which I won.
Bad Losers special.
And all of a sudden, all the quiz shows wanted me on as a contestant.
Isn't that funny? There'll be people that will be surprised by that, because people will think that you have to write into a specific show. But, of course, I don't know if it quite works like that now, but back then, the producers want good, entertaining contestants.
Absolutely.
And if they see you on something doing, you know, being entertaining, they'll grab you.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the people who've gone from Big Brother, Alison Hammond, Ryland Clark.
Yeah.
Well, they've all gone on to have great careers.
Yeah, yeah.
Purely because they've been picked out because their personality is something different.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I got. I mean, if I had been chosen, or if I had been in the running to be chosen for Eggheads purely on knowledge, I wouldn't have had a chance. My only advantage was that I was younger than all the others.
Yes.
And I had a fairly gregarious personality.
Well, you are a good-looking man. 15 years ago, you were even more good-looking. You have very striking eyes. And the reason I liked you on Eggheads, I don't watch it all the time, but if it's on, it's one of those programmes, Eggheads is on, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You had an arrogance about you.
Oh, absolutely.
You had this real arrogance and this real sniffiness of, well, of course I know the answer.
Yeah.
It was a ridiculous question. Why are you even wasting my time?
There's a wonderful quote that's attributed to the third world chess champion, Jose Capablanca, and it's There's no such thing as modesty when everyone knows how good you are.
I like it. So you got. So did you have to audition for Eggheads?
Nope.
Did you? They just said we've got this quiz. We want a team of brain boxes, and we want you as part of that.
That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
We're starting this new show. Would you like to come in and do a read through an audition? Not an audition, but an audition for the show itself.
Not funny,
to just make sure the show gets commissioned. So I went in January and did a read through in Central London, and they didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And in March I went abroad. 2003.
Okay.
And then I went abroad for a couple of months, still didn't hear anything, got back, and late July, and I still hadn't heard anything, so I thought, oh, well, that's another thing that's just fallen by the wayside. And the beginning of August, I got a phone call saying, CJ, remember that read-through you came in for? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's got commissioned. Oh, wonderful, so you'd like me to come and do a rehearsal? No, no, we've done that. We'd like me to come and do the pilot? No, that's happened as well. Well, why are you calling me? We start filming in 3 weeks, get learning.
That's TV. You wait for months and months, nothing, and then it's, are you free next Tuesday?
Absolutely.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
And Eggheads, there was a real glut, late 90s, early 2000s, of quiz shows became sexy again, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
With The Weakest Link, I guess Millionaire probably kind of kick-started it, Weakest Link. There are all of these formats, and Weakest Link, I can't remember exactly, was it a tea time show when it first started?
I think
it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was that slot of 4:30, 5:00.
Absolutely,
we need something that is stimulating, it stimulates your brain, but isn't too taxing. Those shows became big, and Eggheads at the start was a big old show. It took off, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
made you all famous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here we all are. In terms of episodes, it's the third longest-running British quiz show of all time,
right,
in terms of number of episodes.
Yeah.
It's been going now, 16 years?
Wow.
That's incredible. I mean, nearly 2,000 episodes. You can't possibly imagine when you start doing something like that, it's going to have that kind of that kind of pull, that kind of attraction.
Yeah.
And the thing is, because it taps into that nerdy jealousy, that fascination with people, and I think one of the reasons it has survived is because it's so cheap to make.
Yeah, of course.
People love watching it, but it's cheap to produce.
Do you mind talking about it? Because we are going to get to the bit, we'll have a break in a second, but we are going to get to the bit where, well, they screw you over. And is it uncomfortable talking about Eggheads?
It's an uncomfortable subject, but it gave me so much. It gave me so many opportunities that I would never have otherwise had. I can be uncomfortable and bitter about the way it ended and the way I was treated, but as for the show itself, I've got nothing but respect and nothing but love, because it was a wonderful time of my life, and it's something I could never have possibly imagined.
Good for you. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll find out what's been going on in the last few years. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio. Evening, dear listener. You can give us a call if you want, 0344 499 1000. We've got CJ with us. The reason I'm not saying your last name, CJ, is because I can never remember how to pronounce it. Go on.
Pronounce it how you like. Demui is the correct pronunciation, but Demui is perfectly fine.
Okay, fine.
I don't mind.
Now, listen, we've talked about Eggheads, we've talked about the golden years. It kind of started to go wrong.
Yeah.
Would you say around the time of the autobiography? The chronology gets a little bit confusing for me. So you tell your story.
The autobiography came out in September 2015.
Yeah.
No problems whatsoever. Book had been out for several months. Things started to go wrong in January 2016.
Okay.
Somebody I thought was a friend made a horrible accusation against me and accused me of sexual assault.
Right.
Eggheads, to their credit, stood firmly behind me. The producer suspended me on the day I was questioned.
Okay, okay.
And 3 months later, when I was completely cleared of all suspicion, on that very same day, they fired me.
Right, okay. What year was it? What year was it you were accused of sexual assault?
January 2016.
Okay. And then 3 months later, you were completely cleared.
Yep.
And that is still the case? You have never been...
I've never been charged. I wasn't never even arrested.
I was going to say, when you were cleared, so you didn't go into court. It wasn't in court.
No, I was only questioned by police, but there was an eyewitness account from somebody who was in the room at the time.
Right.
There was video evidence from the hotel, and there was the results of DNA testing, all of which proved my innocence.
Okay. So you're innocent of that, sexual assault you were accused of.
Yes.
Can you understand? I've worked with the BBC. I got the boot from the BBC because I had a go against some right-wing Christians who were homophobic bigots.
Yep.
You know, Nicky Campbell does the same thing. He gets applauded. I got the boot. And I dragged Catherine with me. That's, by the way, so I have seen, and I'm a big fan of the BBC.
Yep.
I was so proud to work for it. But I have seen, on a slightly smaller scale, how flawed it is and what a dinosaur it can be and how people within it can get scared And rather than deal with an issue, they'll just drop, you know, wipe their hands of it. Can you understand why you were suspended?
They think their audience is far more conservative than it is.
Yeah.
They're so terrified of any hint of scandal, and this is all on the back of Yew Tree, of course,
yeah,
which was still very fresh in people's minds at the time. But I think the fact that, yes, OK, they suspended me while the investigation was going on, I understand why they did it. I felt a little hurt they did.
Of course, because you knew you were innocent.
I knew I was completely innocent. But, OK, fine. It was right in the middle of a filming block.
Okay.
It was a two-week filming block, in the middle of it, and they sent me home and didn't allow me to do the second week of filming.
What happened? Did you just kind of get collared in your dressing room and they said, we don't need you today? What happened?
Yes, the accusation was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I was taken to the police station on the Sunday night, held there and questioned the early hours of Monday morning, went into the BBC on the Monday morning. The producer came in and said, not today, you'll have to go home, you're suspended.
Let's go back ever so slightly. How did the police get... Did you get a knock at the door?
I went back to my hotel on the Sunday evening, and my room hadn't been made up, and I didn't know why, so I went down to reception to ask them. They said, oh, yes, we'll go make it up in a minute. Obviously, the police had told them not to make up the room in case there was evidence there, and they just came and detained me in the lobby of the hotel.
Yeah. What was that like? That must have... what was that like?
It was very confusing because I was just sitting there waiting. My friend was up in the room. I was just sitting there waiting for them to attend to the room. The two police officers came in and said, would you like to come over here? I said, what's it about? No, just come over here. They took me over to one side and they said, this man has accused you of sexual assault. And I was stunned and devastated, as you would be. And I was in a state of shock. And they took me up to the room because I had to go and get a couple of things. Two police officers were already up there questioning my friend. And then they took me to the station and locked me up in a cell and kept me there for several hours and then questioned me about 2 a.m.
I cannot begin to imagine what that must be like. The words that spring to mind are humiliating, frustrating, upsetting.
I was, I think, too shocked to be anything else,
right,
really.
Okay.
But the experience of being locked in a police cell for several hours wasn't enjoyable. And I was just so astounded. They let me go at 3 a.m. because I said, look, I've got nothing to hide. You ask me what you want.
Yeah.
I had to walk back to the hotel, which was a bit disorientated because I had no idea where I was. Got back to the hotel about 4:30, had 3 hours sleep.
Went to work the next
day. Went into the BBC a few hours later, and the producer just came to my dressing room and said, sorry, look, we're having to send you home. You're suspended. You can't do the next week's filming.
Here's where we might slightly disagree. I can sort of understand a suspension until...
Yes, I agree why...
I know it means, you know, Paul Gambaccini, of course, is perhaps one of the most famous ones. I mean, he didn't work, I think, for 18 months or 2 years. Wrote a really good, interesting book about it. Didn't work for 18 months or 2 years because the whole legal system can drag on and on and on and on. And while it's unfair that anyone should lose money for a false accusation, I can kind of understand why it would be done.
Yeah.
But 3 months later, so relatively, I mean, sure, it seemed like a lifetime for you, but in comparison to a lot of other false accusations, Cliff Richard and Gambaccini and a few others, 3 months is actually quite a short...
That's only because my solicitor pressured them. It was going to take quite a bit longer.
My solicitor pressured
them and said, right, come on, let's get this sorted out.
Oh, good for him.
And
or her.
They did, but what's your evidence? Oh, there isn't any. In fact, everything points to your innocence. You got an eyewitness report, video evidence, and we took his boxer shorts for DNA testing. No evidence whatsoever. You're innocent, completely cleared. That's it.
And so you were never charged?
Nope.
Had you gone in for questioning again in
nope.
that 3 months? It was
nope.
just that one night?
One time.
Wow. So never charged, questioned once, 3 months of insecurity and being unaware of what's going on, and then the police said, as far as we can see, you're innocent.
Yep.
There's no evidence to back this up.
Absolutely.
You're free to get on with your life,
yep.
sir.
Yes. On that very day, my manager received an email from Eggheads, you're fired.
See, that's insane, because, you know, at that moment when there's nothing, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing, it's a phantom. Surely they go, they take you out for lunch, one would imagine. Take you out for lunch, say, look, really sorry, hope you understand why we did it, hope there's no hard feelings, we'd love to invite you back if you want to come and work with us. But no, you got a message saying, we're done.
They didn't even contact me personally. It was sent to my manager.
They wouldn't do that, they're cowards.
Yeah. I can understand the suspension. I was furious about the firing. And then they gave the statement saying, oh, we were just refreshing the lineup. But all they did was fire me. And the timing was apparently purely coincidental. It was just a pure coincidence. It was on the very day I was cleared.
Catherine, we know this BBC bollocks, don't we? We know. We've heard these lines before. I'm laughing just because it's so familiar through what we went through. I'm not laughing at your situation at all. That must have been infuriating.
Incandescent with rage. Yeah, I think it was a phrase I used.
I bet. I bet.
I wasn't happy.
Have the producers ever spoken to you?
No. The only contact I've had with anybody from Eggheads since then was about 2 weeks later. One of the panellists contacted me to say, with regret, we have been told not to contact you ever again.
Oh, mate.
So I've had no contact with anybody, even people on the panel who I thought were my friends, not one of them has contacted me in the 3 years since.
That sucks. I'm really sorry. That's
more polite language than I use.
Yeah, no. And I know that you're. I can feel the rage as you're telling this. I appreciate you kind of holding your tongue a little bit. That is that's awful. And of course, with things like this, when it's rolling contracts, when it's contracts, you know, what people don't understand with jobs like this,
it was a 0 hours contract,
right?
I was guaranteed no work,
of course. And you know, with contracts like this, if they wanted to sack me, they just don't renew the contract. You know, that's the way, they don't renew the contract. So you can't really say, oh, I've been sacked, because technically you haven't, but you know, it's, so they played that game. All right. But you, okay, so the sexual assault happened but didn't happen, there was nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. But then you'd murdered someone.
This is fun, this bit, isn't it?
You'd murdered someone. Now, this, I'd missed the sexual assault story, okay? Yeah. And I was really surprised when I read this last week. But I remember, and this is, and I'm ashamed of this, but this is how news works. I remember you murdering somebody.
Yeah.
Because that was a big story.
And admitting to it.
And admitting to it in a book.
Mm.
But of course, that's not what happened. And I'm really ashamed that I didn't dig deeper the first time around, because I had that in my head.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us what happened there?
In about September 2017, I came back from Cape Town and I was arrested at Heathrow Airport. I was taken to a police station, jailed overnight, and then taken to Westminster Magistrates Court the next day. What had happened was a European arrest warrant had been issued for me, because in my book I had written in my autobiography that I thought I killed somebody in Amsterdam. This was a mugger who attacked me with a knife, and I wrote in my book that I thought I murdered him.
Yeah.
A European arrest warrant was issued on that basis, and I was jailed and taken to court about this. There's only one slight problem with the whole thing, and that's it's all complete bollocks. Nowhere in my book does it say anything like that. I never wrote those words. They don't appear anywhere in the book. Somebody made it up. Somebody changed my Wikipedia page, and a Dutch journalist apparently read this, passed it on to the Dutch prosecutor, who issued the arrest warrant. The police arrested me and I was taken to court. But the prosecutor, the journalist, the press, the judge and the police, not one of them bothered to spend 2 minutes looking in the book to see it wasn't true.
I have the quote that was doing all the rounds in the newspapers, and this is what, of course, I read.
Please.
Right, so this is the bit lifted from your book, and then we're going to go to the actual page.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from your book, apparently. I was in a phone box and this old guy, obviously a massive drug user, came up behind me with a knife in his hand. He told me to turn around, open my bag and give him whatever was inside. I punched him so hard in the face, knocked the knife out of his hand and threw him in the canal. I fully suspect I killed him. I've no idea what happened to him. I remember reading that.
Yes. So do lots of people.
Yeah.
I don't remember writing it.
And it wasn't until we were chatting on Twitter and someone said, yeah, all right, CJ, you murdered someone. And you went, well, actually, here's the page in my book that I read what happened. And, yeah, you tell a story about being by, you know, getting mugged by a drug user. So you get that. This is from the action book. I completely snapped, dropped the phone and flew at him in fury. He didn't expect this reaction and was immediately thrown into terror. I grabbed the knife, tossed it into the water and started to thump him. I screamed the entire time, allowing all my frustration and hurt to flood out. I couldn't help myself, but doubt that I even wanted to. He'd tried, however meekly, to mug me at knife point and I was just defending myself. Of course, this is ludicrous, as the gentlest of slaps would have got rid of him. Once unarmed, he'd hardly be a threat to anyone else, but my assault continued until I half punched, half pushed him into the canal. Trembling with rage and with fists still tightly clenched, I'm ashamed to say I walked away. I didn't give this sorry creature another thought.
That's what it says in the book. Not a word about punching him in the face, not a word about thinking I killed him. I did not write those words. They do not exist.
Completely, completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah.
And that quote that was in all the papers and is still online.
And the BBC published.
The BBC published. That was because someone updated your Wikipedia page.
Yeah. That quotation appears on the European arrest warrant.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a Dutch prosecutor, what, they saw it and went, we got to get this guy because there's an unsolved murder or something?
What happened was there was a Dutch writer who maybe purely coincidentally had a book out about previous murders in Amsterdam. He claims that a journalist pointed him towards the Wikipedia page. So he told the prosecutor issued the warrant.
Okay.
So maybe it was in his interest. Maybe he sold a few copies of his book.
So when you're in court...
Mm-hmm.
And did they read out that section? They didn't say that to you?
No.
Okay. So how did this proceed then?
Basically, I was told to stay quiet. And the judge then asked me to stand up after a few minutes and said, well, in view of the fact there's no actual evidence and you have admitted to this in your book, I said, excuse me, may I just stop you there? And I said, I didn't. I didn't write it. These aren't my words. It doesn't appear anywhere in the book. And the whole court was thrown into the confusion. They stopped the...
They listened to you.
They listened to me, but the whole thing was over in a few minutes. They retained my passport and I was just free to go.
Right.
But
no one said, look, can we come back after lunch? Can someone pop down to Waterstones and go and...
No, of course not.
None of that.
And a couple of days later... the whole thing was dismissed because apparently the court got a letter from the Dutch prosecutor saying they were dropping the case due to, in quotations, basic and embarrassing errors.
So they're saying, without saying it, they ballsed up. They went on a rumour instead of actually looking at
the... we cocked up. Well, but don't worry about CJ, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Don't worry about the huge trauma that we've caused an innocent
man.
The
fact he was jailed and splashed over the front pages of the papers claiming he'd murdered somebody.
Was there ever any apology in any of the papers?
I've had an apology from nobody.
Really?
About anything.
I'm really sorry. Because I'm not papers, but I'm kind of part of this machine.
Yeah.
And I believed it. I believed that. I didn't believe you'd murdered somebody, but I believed that was the quote from the book.
Yeah.
I didn't believe you'd killed someone. I thought it was quite a dramatic quote and that the papers were building a story around it. But I believed that was the quote from the book. And I'm sure a lot of people listening today will be surprised that you never wrote those words. Mm-hmm. So that's... Several, you know, the job, the sexual assault that wasn't, the murder that wasn't, that's three huge things to happen in a comparatively short space of time.
Yeah.
What's happened since, CJ?
It's got worse.
Go on.
In 2017, I made a reference and named the person who had sexually accused me of sexual assault.
Yeah.
I was legally entitled to do that. Because the alleged assault took place in Scotland, which isn't covered by the England and Wales Sexual Offences Act, this person did not have anonymity, so I was perfectly legally entitled to name
him. Why did you decide to do that, if you don't mind
me asking? I'd still been facing non-stop criticism, non-stop abuse, people just accusing me of it all the time. And, frankly, I wanted some justice.
Yeah, OK.
I still haven't had any closure, I still haven't had any apology, and I'd lost everything.
Mm.
I'd lost my job, my livelihood, my career, my health, as you know, is failing, and I was unemployable. Somehow, he managed to find a solicitor, don't know how he found this solicitor, but willing to represent him on a no-win, no-fee basis.
The thread that I think I've picked up is that you possibly believe that there is, I'm going to say the C word, CJ, there's a conspiracy against you, is that
I would
close?
I would think there's certainly something going on behind the scenes.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
can I ask what make... Because from... Listen, I don't know the full story. Mm. From where I am, I can see some really, really bad decisions. I can see some really, really bad luck. And I can see some huge cock-ups. Mm. I personally... I can't see a conspiracy. What makes you think that there is?
The solicitors have pursued me for the last year and a half. First of all, for damages, claiming that I caused distress and lost their client. In about September 2018, I ran out of what money I had. I had to beg on social media for people to give me money pay for legal fees, but I had to declare myself bankrupt. My solicitor and I told this right at the beginning, I have no money.
Yeah.
I have no income. For the last, as it was, 2 years then, I've been surviving on a monthly payment of disability living allowance and nothing else. I survive on one state benefit. I have no money, I have no income, no savings, no assets. I've got nothing. But they continue to pursue me.
Mm.
I declared bankruptcy last year.
Mm.
And they still have pursued me. They've put in a claim of £100,000 against my estate. All I've got left is the interest in my house.
Mm.
Now, even if they, as they are trying to force now, they managed to get the trustee who's taken over my bankruptcy to force the sale of my house, making me and my husband homeless.
Yeah.
All they will ever get back, the maximum they can get back is £40,000, I would say. But by their own even... conservative estimate, they've spent $120,000.
Right, okay.
So they have pursued me for 3 years, for 2 years, knowing they're going to lose at least £70,000 or £80,000.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Why would anybody willingly lose high tens of thousands of pounds if there wasn't something or some reasoning or somebody supporting them behind it?
I have to say, because they're not here and because they're a legal firm, they can sue my ass, that if anyone from the legal company ever wants to come on and put forward their side of the story or wants to send me a statement, I would be very, very happy to have a look at that and read that out, of course. And I'm just, you know, just
of course,
flag up,
please.
We're only getting your side of the story at the moment. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you? What's your health? What's going on there?
As has been documented a few years ago, I had a very large tumour removed from my mouth. So I have had another cancer scare since then.
Yeah.
My doctor also wanted to sign me off sick from absolutely everything and told me to give me permanent bed rest because the last year and a half has taken such a detrimental toll on me. He said he was really worried about me.
Mm.
I've told him, no need to worry, I'm fine, I'm fine. We smile through what we can, so we just keep going. But, yeah, I mean, I have issues. I have to say the only thing that's kept me going in the last year and a half especially is running. I'm a very keen runner, and that's kept me healthy and happy.
Good luck with that, mate. You're on your own, CJ.
But,
the stress has got to you, though. I've seen...
The stress isn't doing much for me, yeah.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of weight.
me and Kath said as we came in, you look thin.
Yeah. I put that down to the training, but I think that's probably being generous.
Yeah. So what's next? You were saying on Twitter again, no one's interested in the story.
No
one cares, it would appear.
Yeah.
We genuinely interested, you know, like I say, when I looked into it a bit, it was like, oh, okay, this is obviously some injustice has happened here.
At the moment, I'm fighting to save my house. It's the only asset I've got. And all it is my half of the equity in the house and my half of what the house is worth above its mortgage. The way it works is, with a creditor, even one that's an unsecured claim put against my estate, if that goes to court, the trustee can force the sale of the house just to get their hands on that money. But here's something I didn't realise until recently. Not only is a trustee a government employee who is paid, they also get a commission on any of the monies and assets they seize, and they can be funded and have their expenses paid by one of the creditors.
It's a great life, isn't it?
It's wonderful, isn't it? So, for example, any of the creditors, let's say, I don't know, purely hypothetically, a solicitor, could pay the trustee's fees, and then the trustee could impartially look at their claim and say, oh yes, I'll allow this, because if it goes through, then I'll get commission from that as well.
Listen, we're going to move on in a minute, but you turn to acting.
Yes.
You've won awards for acting. You're an award-winning actor.
I am, yes.
But no one's touching you because you're CJ, formerly of Eggheads, accused of sexual assault. There's all of the murderer. There's all of that shadow.
The thing is,
hanging over you.
When even the little hint of sexual assault, so that's panto out of the window. No chance of ending anything like that. Any of the big shows, they can't employ me because there's the baggage around. A couple of years ago, I actually went for a couple of meetings with ITV to do with The Chase. That would have been my dream job. Doing The Chase would have been fantastic. But unfortunately, since all this has blown up, there's no chance of me working. Well, even if they would, I don't think I would feel comfortable going on The Chase while this is still hanging over me, because I wouldn't want to in any way damage the brand. In my humble opinion, The Chase is the premier quiz show around at the moment. They couldn't be involved with me, and I wouldn't want to be involved with them until this is finished. If I can get my life back, then maybe I'll give them a call.
Do you think you get your life back? You optimistic? You must be, to keep plodding on, to come on here and tell this story, to go on Twitter and tell your story. There must be some optimism that you're clinging to.
The reason I tell my story is because I've got nothing to hide. I'm telling the truth. Everything I've said, I can prove. I have done nothing wrong. I've written nothing wrong. I've said nothing wrong. I've broken no law, committed no offence. But even when on social media I do my little upbeat, inspiring videos every morning, you do it to try and help other people. There are always people who are worse off than you. And for the time being, I've still got a roof over my head, which is far more than a lot of people have got.
Just very quickly, a few people are saying, well, why doesn't he sue? You need money to sue.
If I could sue...
Yeah, you need money
If I could sue, I would do. But to sue the Sun is hundreds of thousands of pounds. Of course, I'd win if I did. But even a conservative estimate is 150 grand to sue any newspaper. I'd love to sue, but it costs money, and I don't have any. I'm bankrupt.
Hey, listen, man. I want you to. I don't want you to think that all of the media is against you. I buy all of your story. The conspiracy thing. I can see how someone against who's battled against it for 3-4 years would think that. I don't see a conspiracy, and I hope that you get the impression that by being invited on this show, and this is going to go out as a podcast on Monday, that not everyone in the media is against you. You know, you've got, listen, you've got a friend here. If the story develops, you're very, very welcome to come back, CJ. I think you're a good man.
Thanks, mate.
I think you've had a lousy time. I think you've been treated appallingly. I think sexual assault accusations have to be investigated. But once it is shown, it's proven there is nothing, then I think the person who is accused should be welcomed back with open arms, if that's appropriate, and should be, you know, apologised to, and should be put exactly in the position they were in before those accusations happened. And it's one of the many failings of the BBC that they haven't done that.
All I can say is the last 3 years have been hell. I've lost everything, job, career, livelihood, reputation, absolutely everything. I've lost a lot of weight, but at least my cheekbones look fabulous.
You look great, CJ. Hey, it's so nice to see you. Come back in, man, and let us know if anything happens.
Yep.
We'll carry on the show. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I've just tweeted it, dear listener, at Ian Lee, if you want to go and have a look at that. It was excellent. Let's go to Alec. Good evening, Alec.
Hello there, Ian.
Hello there, Alec. What can we do for you on Friday?
I was listening to CJ's story.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And it's something that happened to me. I've spoken to Catherine about a different... thing. Oh. I was the chap that phoned in about a ghost story.
I remember, yeah. Oh. I remember the little handprints.
That's right. Yeah,
is that like The Little Prince?
Yeah.
Where he's on the story. It's a great film with David Niven and The Little Prince, and he kind of crash lands in the desert. Have you seen that film?
No. I've read the book.
Oh, the film with David Niven is great. Let's all go and watch that. So it's different prints.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, this is a different story.
Can I just say, by the way, the person who's an idiot and tweets all the time, tweets rubbish, just tweeted, "What about Carlton? Weren't you listening, dumbass?" Yes, Alec, carry on. I'm sorry. I've got my full attention now. Go on.
Yes. What happened to CJ happened to me.
You got sacked from Eggheads?
No. No.
Oh, sorry.
No. I got accused of a murder.
Oh, blimey, mate.
It ruined my life completely. I've spoken about this on the BBC. I don't know whether you ever...
No.
You used to work for Three Counties.
Yeah.
I had a half-hour sort of interview. I went...
With Nick Coffer?
No.
Thank God for that.
With JBS.
Okay. Well, you got 3 minutes here, so you got to condense it. So what happened, man?
I got accused of a murder. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was just in the area at the time. I just happened to be in the wrong place.
So who accused you?
The police.
And what evidence did they have?
None whatsoever.
Right. Wow.
And I was cleared 20 years later because of advances in DNA.
Mate.
They'd got the DNA of this person.
Yeah.
Well, I gave my DNA 20 years later.
Did you go... You didn't go to prison, did you?
No.
Okay, all right.
I never even got charged. I got taken in. I got my house searched twice. They did a lot of damage to my house.
I bet.
I never got... any compensation. I put in for compensation and never ever got anything.
And you had, I guess, if they didn't, you weren't cleared until 20 years later, you had this cloud of suspicion. There's no smoke without fire. We all know that. You had this cloud of suspicion hanging over you for 20 years.
Ian, my parents wouldn't speak to me.
No, Alec.
Because for 10 years, because the police... convinced my mum that I was something to do with it.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, that's the God honest truth. I mean, and by the time I went up there and eventually made up, they were just old people. You know, but it is a true story, Ian.
Oh, I believe it. Did they make up... Did they live to see you being vindicated?
No, they didn't.
Oh, dear.
But the murder was of a nurse in Radnage in 1995.
Right.
You know, and I just happened to be in Radnage that night, looking at a house, believe it or not. But
did they catch the scumbag that did it?
No, they never ever caught the person that did it.
Really?
No.
But they were able to conclusively prove, what was it, blood, saliva, fingerprints, that it wasn't...
You see, in 1995, DNA was not...
No, it was...
It is what it is now.
No, it was very hit and miss, yeah.
Yeah, and it was exactly 20 years later that I saw in the Bucks Free Press that they'd got DNA of the person, of the murderer.
Yeah.
I knew they'd come, and they did. Two officers appeared here. I wouldn't let them in the house, and I wouldn't sit in their car. We had to do it on the street, you know, this DNA thing. So I gave them my DNA, and never ever heard anything. Never got no apology.
Oh, hang on. So did they not come back and say, we can... conclusively say it wasn't you? Thanks for your time.
No, I never heard anything, Ian.
Wow.
Not anything. But they ruined my life. Do you know, I didn't get a job simply because they went to a company that I worked for, and every time I filled in a CV, they'd go to that company, and the company would tell the people that I'd applied a job for that they were around... There, they were asking all my friends what I was like and what have you.
And all they had was that you were nearby when it happened.
That's right. That's all it was, Ian.
And that's terrifying, because that could happen to any of us. Who knows what's going on around the corner?
Yeah.
So when did it end? 2015. For you.
Yeah, that's when they came back. Right. Exactly 20 years, yeah. Almost, believe it or not, to the month, you know, when they got this new DNA. They took the DNA, and I said I wanted an apology, but, you know, they never, ever come back.
These big organisations, and police, BBC, you know, it's apparently saying sorry. Well, the thing is, once they say sorry, it leaves them open to litigation, doesn't it? That's the problem with these, with everybody. You say sorry, that there's a fault on there, and you can sue the ass off them.
Yeah, but you know the damage they did to the house.
What did they do? Go on.
They opened. I'm a photographer, so all the photographic paper, it was all factory sealed and says do not expose. Every single box to the light and just left it there. And it's something that I could replace, but it was over 300 quid's worth of damage.
Yeah, of course, and there's no way you can claim that back, is there? You sort of suck it up.
I did put a form in, but they said they lost all the paperwork and they couldn't do it. You know, the thing is, I don't trust the police anymore.
Oh, I bet you don't, and you have excellent reason not to.
They're scumbags. They ruined my life completely. Yeah.
Was there any light in those 20 years? Was there any, you know, moments of joy and happiness?
What do you mean, Ian?
Well, was it 20 years of complete misery?
Yes, it was, and it's still misery now because a lot of the friends that a lot of friends still haven't spoken to me ever since that happened.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, hi, Ian.
Hello, Nigel.
Oh, I'm feeling ever so tired. I've gone back on the antidepressants now.
Has the doctor told you to do that?
Yeah. No, I hadn't stopped. They were due today, so you thought, I haven't stopped taking them.
Okay.
I had missed 2 days. Now I took one, but now I'm quite tired.
As long as you're following your doctor's suggestions,
I've only had one, and that was 6 o'clock.
All right. I'll say it again. As long as you just follow what your doctor says, that's all. That's all I'll say.
But you can take 1.5 if you want to.
Nigel. Listen, I can't really talk about how much and when you should or shouldn't take your medication.
I know how much to take because I've been on a long time, but
follow,
I know what I'm doing.
Follow your doctor's instructions, all right?
I always do, yeah.
Good. All right. How's things today?
Okay. The photo's on
yeah, we retweeted it. The photo of you and Helen Grant.
It's on Twitter now, and someone put it onto my Facebook for me.
Yeah, we retweeted it. It's a good picture.
Retweeted it where?
On Twitter. We retweeted it on Twitter, yes.
Onto your page?
Well, I it was on Twitter.
Your Twitter?
Yes.
With the tick?
Yes.
Well, your one's got a tick. That's
my one's
the real
got a tick.
You.
My one's got your... The way you can tell mine and Catherine's Twitter apart is my one's got the tick and Catherine's hasn't.
No.
Despite her trying many, many times.
Did Catherine get my message last night because I tweeted Catherine?
I don't know.
Did you, Catherine?
No.
It said Catherine Boyle, and it's got the recording of me singing a song on it as well. The video.
We both get so many tweets. It's always hard, and I never watch videos or click on links.
Now,
and by
one
the way,
of your recordings is on Catherine's page.
Okay, what I'm saying is we don't really get time to click on links and look at videos. And can I just say to everybody asking me, can you follow me so I can DM? No. Because here's the thing, every time I've DM'd someone, A, it's either been sexually inappropriate, or B, it's just not been worth it. And I did one the other day. Someone said, can you DM me? It's about a film. And I went, and I did, and it wasn't worth it. So, no, I don't know. I'm not going to follow anyone to DM. I'm really, really sorry. There's a reason I don't do that. There's a reason I don't have a public email. There's a reason why you guys can't message me. You can phone me 3 hours every night.
It's my birthday on Monday.
Happy birthday!
Not till Monday.
In that case, I
bought myself a card.
Okay. Oh.
And I put Mum on it, so to pretend it's from Mum. So I thought it's appropriate. I said it comes from Mum.
That's a lovely thing to do.
And Mum and Dad actually, I put on there.
That's a lovely thing.
So I've got something to remind me of Mum, and it's got a push bike on it.
A fish bike?
A cycle on
a
it.
A push
you
bike,
know,
a push bike.
Bike.
I was fish bike. I thought it was a fish bike. Fish can't ride fish bikes. Bike. Billy Bass might be able to, but no one else.
They used to call them push bikes, didn't they?
Push bikes back in the old days, which is weird because you didn't really push them. You'd ride them. You called them ride bikes.
I'll tell you what, I've got some presents from Christmas that I haven't even opened yet because I spent a lot on myself at Christmas just to cheer myself up.
Yeah.
I've got these model airplanes, the Harrier, 148 scale Harrier, that's not started.
Oh, beautiful.
And I think I've got a Spitfire. These are bigger ones, they're not the tiny ones.
Yeah.
And I've got a stealth bomber, quite a big stealth bomber.
Yeah.
But what I bought Christmas, which I haven't even opened yet, is for $19.99 was, what is it now, Wonder Woman doll. You know the figure from the film?
Yes.
It's a proper figure. It looks like a real person.
Nigel, you've got a CD player, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, I've got several, yeah.
Okay, all right. Just wondered. All right, Nigel. Well, listen, it's...
What for?
I just wondered. Yeah. Listen, it's good to... So your birthday's on Monday, yeah? Well, then Monday night is Nigel's birthday special.
Shall I do a song on Monday, then?
Yes,
please. With the karaoke machine, some backing.
Yes.
A proper song.
That would be nice. All right, listen, we're going to go, because I want to get one more call in before we finish the show. Have a lovely weekend, Nigel, and we'll speak to you on Monday.
I haven't sung before.
Beautiful. All right, give us a new one.
I'll do one on Monday, then.
All right.
Good.
See you later, Nigel. Have a good weekend, mate.
Have a nice weekend, Ian.
Bye-bye. Bubby-bye.
What's bubby-bye?
Bubby-bye. Baby hungry.
Oh, don't.
Baby hungry, mummy. Baby hungry, mummy. Feed baby with booby milk, mummy.
All right, that'll do.
Good evening, Dreamweaver.
Good evening.
It's all kicking off tonight.
You're talking about booby milk. I used to have it all the time.
Well, so did I, but when I was naught.
Oh, I never got it.
I had it for 5 years when my partner had my children, and I had it for five years.
Did you go, baby hungry, mummy? Baby hungry, mummy. Did you?
I'm not going to go into my private conversation.
Baby hungry, mummy. But you're not saying no, Dreamweaver.
Sorry?
You're not saying no.
He's a dirty man. Baby hungry, mummy.
I'm not saying anything at all. I'm just saying I used to say lovely things to her.
What would you say to your partner you were an adult so you could suckle on her breast? Tell us the lovely things you would say. Let's hear it.
Well, with my firstborn, I used to suckle on the other breast, and then he used
at the
to
same,
nurse me
not
off.
At the same time.
Yes. Is that weird?
A bit. Flipping it, man.
Well, we were all hugging. We used to do naked Celtic yoga together. We have two children, and we used to do all of that together. That was seen as weird.
Yes,
I know. You know my children were taken away from me. You know, you know all about that.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, there we go. That's all right. But what would you say to her to be allowed to partake in the life juice from mummy's breast?
Nothing. It would just be lots of hugs and
just work your way
lots
down.
Of nurturing.
Here's the thing.
Which people don't do.
They don't. And here's the thing. This is how a lot of the best fun is had, is just by... just gently working your way down, going a little bit further than you meant to, and just seeing what happens. And more often than you're not, you'll find that there is no resistance.
Wow.
Did you say going down further than you should do?
That's exactly what I said.
He said a lot of things that he shouldn't have said.
Whew, blimey.
You know what we're talking about.
I'm blushing now.
Yeah, not as much as Martin Kellner, who's just walked in.
Goodness me.
So go on. Listen. So what have you called in for, you mucky boy?
Well,
are you hungry? Are you hungry for mummy?
I've been at the gym and swim and sauna tonight.
Wow.
And I've come back to my flat. Right. And I've listened, put on the radio. I listened to a bit of reggae, UB40, for a little while. And I thought,
band.
Ian and Kath, I need to listen to them.
Yes, correct.
And then I heard some guy ranting on about this and that. And that. Why do people involve themselves in so much of this that's going on instead of focusing on themselves? Which
focus on your spirit.
Within you,
focus on your chakras.
Focus on yourself.
Focus on your chakras and your pineal gland.
Oh.
Your third eye. Or is it your fourth? I get confused.
Where's your book? I need to have your book for a while. I'd love to write some stuff in that book.
Oh, I forgot about the book. We'll have to do it, Dreamweaver. Thank you very much indeed. Some gyms are open 24 hours a day now.
What for?
Weirdos like that.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So that's not £35 a ticket. So that's not the thing that's got me the most angry today. And I was angry, right? So then we come out of the cinema about 8:30, I believe that to be the case, right? And I've got an email. You know, my mum is in a care home, right? I had a lovely day today clearing out the garage. Lovely day clearing out the garage. What an idiot. But I found my mum and dad's wedding album. I kind of knew it was in there, but I haven't looked at it for years. And I found some really nice pictures of, you know, almost everybody in those pictures is dead now. That's life. It's the circle of life. It was really nice, right? It's really nice. I showed them on Periscope. So then I come out. So my mum's in a care home. She's 60. What year is it? She's 68. She's been in the care home for about 10 or 12 years because she's got really bad MS. Probably a bit longer, maybe 12, 13 years. She's got really bad MS, okay? And she's, here's the thing. So physically, she can do very, very little. She's completely dependent on them for her physical needs. She's you know, doubly incontinent. She can't walk. She's in an electric wheelchair. Her speech is slurred. She struggles to feed herself. Sometimes she can, sometimes she can't. Completely dependent on them. And also her MS, I suspect she may have dementia as well. I don't know. But her MS has affected her brain, which is quite unusual for people with MS. If you've got MS, don't worry. Not everyone has this. But in that she gets very, very confused. My dad died about 5 or 6 years ago. She'll talk about him. She thinks that the care home she lives in is work. She talks about being at work. You go and sit with her for an hour. You'll hear the same story 5 times, right? Doesn't know. If I were to phone her up now, she wouldn't know what day. Literally wouldn't know what day it was, right? So we come out of the cinema at 8:30, and I get a message that was an email that was sent to me at 7:48 tonight, right, from the care home saying, "Hi Ian, hope you're well. Could you please let me know what is the best time to contact you tomorrow, as I would like to speak to you, if possible." Now, whenever you get an email like that, it's normally about money. Right, and you know I fret about these things, Catherine. It's about money, because this care home, well, she was paying £1,500 a week until she used up all her money and the council stepped in. I think she pays maybe £200 a week now, and the council pays £700 a week. I don't know, but she spent well over £220,000 of her own money, right? And she pays £200-250 a week. I'd have to double check the figures. So I emailed at 8:30 and said, 8:21, "Hi, I can give you a call in the morning. Is everything okay? I'm around now if it's not." 3 minutes later, "If you don't mind, please call me now." Okay, so I phoned up, right? I phoned them at, let's see what time I phoned them. I phoned them at 8:43 in the back of an Uber, and I would like to apologise to the Uber driver for my language, because I was still smarting over £35 a ticket gate. So I was not in the best of moods. So I phoned up and said, "Hi, it's Ian. Is everything all right?" "Yeah, Ian, just to let you know that yesterday your mum got out of the care home on her own, and we couldn't find her, and then eventually someone found her in the next street sunbathing." I said, I beg your pardon?" "Yeah, your mum got out of the care home on her own, we don't know how, and she was found in the next street sunbathing." "Right, okay. We couldn't find her. She was missing. She was missing." "Right, okay. How long was she missing for?" We think about an hour.
I heard her saying that we were getting all the other residents out of bed, so...
"Yeah, we think about an hour." "Okay, here's the thing, right? My mum drives an electric wheelchair, which she's terrible at driving. Absolutely terrible. Her room is covered in smashes, and she's terrible at driving because she's got no hand-eye coordination. She can't see very well. And the road that the care home is on is a really, really busy road. Really busy road. I hate taking her out to the cinema and stuff because it's a really busy road, okay? If she... And I've been out with her where my boys drive her now, but I've seen her drive herself, and I've had to grab... the steering stick because she's veering to the road, okay? or she's hitting, not, she's trying to go up the curve, but she's not going up the dip in the curve, and it starts tipping. So she could have been tipped out. And they're heavy. These electric wheelchairs are heavy. You can't lift them. That falls on you. She could have been tipped out, or she could have gone into the main road and been, I don't know, killed. At this point in the phone call, I went flipping mad. And I was effing and jeffing like nobody's business. I said, right, how did she get out? We don't know. To get out, you have to press like a sort of button to get out, right? But my mum can't do it. She can't do it. So how did she get out? We don't know. Maybe one of the other residents let her out. Okay. I said, right. Well, you've got a camera on the door, haven't you? So you can... No, we don't have a camera on the door. So anyone can come and go. It's slightly difficult to get in, but I've got in. You just see a resident, you tap on the door, they let you in. They don't ask you any questions. Why should they? So anyone could get in or out, right? So, okay, right. So she was gone for, you think, for an hour, and you don't know how she got out, and you haven't got a camera there. I said, right, this happened at, she said, what time? At 11 o'clock Sunday morning. I said, right, it's 8:30 Monday evening. What? I've got power of attorney. Me and my sister have got power of attorney. So any medical decisions and financial decisions, they have to phone me or my sister. It's generally me. They have to phone us up. Even if it's a doctor wants to prescribe a medication, it's like they're prescribing the medication to me. They have to tell me and check with me that I'm cool with that, right? Everything. I said, right, it's nearly 36 hours since it happened. Just wondered why you're only phoning me now. I wasn't this calm at all. I was effing. I was furious. I was furious. Why are you only telling me now? Someone phoned you and someone did phone you yesterday. They couldn't get through to you. Now, I changed my phone number about a year ago. And I am very confident the care home has got my new phone number. I'm very confident it's in their office.
Well, she rang you.
No, she didn't. I rang her. I'm very confident they've got my new phone number. Very confident. I said, but then she said they got it from, maybe they got it from mum's folder. I said, well, I didn't get a message. I didn't get a phone call. They left a message. Well, I've checked. They hadn't left a message. I said, right, okay. How many times did they phone me? We don't know. Right, okay, okay, right, fair enough. So they couldn't get hold of me? No. I said, you got hold of me tonight? Yeah, because I wanted to. I said, no. You're telling me they couldn't get hold of me, but you've got hold of me because you sent me an email. So the whole thing about them not being able to get hold of me is bollocks. Because you got hold of me. So if they wanted to get hold of me, they could have got hold of me. They've also got my sister's phone number. So I don't answer. You phone my sister up immediately. I went nuts. I said, well, thanks very much. Because this is going to be tonight's radio show, Leonard Cheshire Disability, How You Lost My Mum. She said, oh, no, please don't mention it on the radio tonight. I said, sorry? She goes, please don't mention it on the radio tonight. I'm launching an investigation. I said, well, that's great news for you. That's brilliant. You launch your investigation, which I'm not actually interested in the investigation you do. I want your superiors to launch an investigation because you've proved yourself to be incompetent. I said, I don't give a shit. A, you don't tell me what to do on my radio show, and B, you are getting paid a lot of money to look after the most precious thing in my life. Beside my boys, my mum is the most precious thing in my life, and you lost her for at least an hour, and I'm only finding out about it 36 flipping hours later. And then I did get a little bit hyperbolic. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue the company. I'm suing the home. I'm suing everybody. Please don't mention it on the radio. I'm going to mention it on the radio. I'm going to tell the story as you've told me this. I'm not going to embellish it. I'm not going to exaggerate. I'm going to tell you the story. And I say, for the sake of the record, I was effing and jeffing. I was swearing, right? And because I was angry and I was upset and I was scared because she could have been killed. She could have been killed. I've seen death in the last month. I've held someone's hand while they died and were brought back to life, right? So it is very prescient to me that death is, we're all just a fag paper away from not being alive anymore. And she could have been killed. She could have been killed. And she said, well, I'll get my boss to phone you up. I said, I don't want to speak to your boss. Your boss is nothing to me. I want the CEO of your company to phone me up. Well, I said, look, they phone me up before 10 o'clock. They might be able to talk me out of talking about it on the radio if they can say something to me that proves that something is being done. But if not, I'm doing it. Well, I didn't get a phone call. So I put this out there now. Leonard Cheshire, what the flipping hell are you doing with my mum? There's been so many other things. The robbery, a woman who inserted her fingers into my mum in a terrible way, thinking she was cleaning her. So many things, right? What the hell are you doing? If anyone's listening, you can phone up. You can send us a statement. Anything. But I swear to God, man, you are looking after my mum for about 900 quid a week. It was 1,500 quid a week. And you're not doing the job. And here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Here's why I've been hesitant to talk about the mistakes they've made in the past. Because I'm scared they'll kick her out. I'm really scared they'll kick her out. And we've talked about this before, about how when it went from her paying for it to the council funding, she nearly got kicked out and moved to another home because of money, right? And I'm terrified that if I kick up a stink, and there are so many other families that like this, if I kick up a stink, she gets moved out of the home that she has lived in for the past 12, 13, 14 years, however long it is, and she calls that place home, right? Well, do you know what, dear listener? You are now my witness, OK? We are going to follow this to its conclusion, and we might have to go quiet for a bit if it does go legal, but you're going to follow this to the conclusion, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, if she does get kicked out of that home, I'm giving you names and I'm giving you email addresses of people to contact. Because, if she gets kicked out because I've kicked up a fuss because they lost her for an hour, right, then that is shameful and that is shocking. So you better not kick her out of that home. You better not kick her out of that home. Because boy, oh boy, you're going to be in trouble. I've got names and I've got numbers and I've got stories to tell. All right? Furious. I shouldn't have sworn it. I shouldn't have spoken the way I did. But also, she wouldn't shut up. She would not shut up. She was just covering her own backside. That's all they do, is cover their own backsides. Furious.
Care Quality Commission.
Well, yeah, Care Quality Commission. MP, I think the MP is Dominic Grieve, who is actually brilliant in these situations. I'm a big fan of Dominic Grieve. I think it's him. Big fan of him because I've seen him at loads of the do's that they have there. Big, big fan. So Care Quality Commission, Dominic Grieve. Any newspapers want to talk to me, I'm up for that. I'll get in touch with The One Show again. I will shout loudly about this because here's the thing, right? She wasn't hit. They found her. They found her. But imagine if they hadn't.
I can imagine it, because I've been to inquests of people who've got out of care homes. I went to one in particular that will stay with me forever, where they found him in a river. No one knew how he got out. Not good enough. We can't get in and out of the doors at work, right?
No.
Without someone seeing us and giving us permission to come in and out. How on earth are they wandering in and out? Why is there no camera?
They don't have a camera. That was the thing. I always thought there was a camera. No, we don't have a camera. It's so easy to get in that place. You're supposed to press an intercom, right? But you just see a resident. Could you let us in? Of course they let you in.
They live there.
Yeah. So easy. So I'm furious. I'm really sorry. The first 30 minutes have been quite a self-indulgent moan. I'm guessing Doug isn't liking it. That's a pity, Doug. Never mind. Good luck listening to Brexit FM. Right, this is real life. You don't like it? Tough. Bit of a burk, am I? Tough. Jog on, fella. Here's the thing, right? The people will go. It's the same thing with a couple of the calls we've had of people phoning in asking for help. People will go, they're only getting help because they've got a radio show. Ian, you're only going to get help because you've got a radio show. If I don't speak up, right, hopefully by speaking up, this will stop it happening to anyone else. This will stop it happening to your nan or your husband or your son. They've got young people in that place as well. This could stop it happening. This is awful. This is awful. It's such a busy area. I'm fuming, absolutely fuming. Anyway, I will let you know how it progresses. Trust me, I'm going to be speaking to them tomorrow. There's going to be some very angry phone calls. I remember when I was putting Mum on The One Show with me, right, to actually kind of say that the care home was all right, but about the problem we had keeping her in there, the PR guy for the company phoned me up, right? And because I think he'd done PR for the Samaritans, and because we'd worked with him, he thought it was like the old tie, old school tie, mates club. Come on, Ian, we've worked together before. Maybe you can keep, just let us know what's going on. It doesn't work like that. This isn't a commodity, right? I'm not enjoying doing this rant. I'm not doing this rant for listeners, to get more listeners. I'll probably lose listeners for doing this rant. I'm doing this rant because I have a voice and I have a microphone and I have a mum who I am completely in love with, and she deserves better than that. Our vulnerable, our elderly, our ill deserve better treatment than that. And I'm furious. Anyway, onwards and upwards, 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
No, Doug, I didn't like being called a Burke in your tweet, mate, because I can see you slagging off the show. You know what Burke means, don't you? Berkeley Hunt. You know what it means. So, no, no lol. Yeah, I didn't like your rude tweet when I'm doing a show, mate. So either call in or switch off and jog on, all right? Flipping it. State of some of these people. Ken, what do you want?
Hello?
Yes, Ken.
Oh, I thought I didn't hear you say my name there, Ian. Yes, about this Brexit situation.
Oh, get
Ian.
Lost. Get lost. No. Let's try Roger. Good evening, Roger.
Good evening, Ian.
Did we just have Ken from Newcastle start a call with, yeah, about this Brexit situation?
I think she thinks you're Tom Sawbrick, to be honest.
There we go.
Did he try and get on with the show before or something? Yes, he did.
About this Brexit situation from Ken in Newcastle. Thanks for listening, mate. Not a chance.
Oh.
Good evening, Roger. How you doing, mate?
Not too bad. I had a bit of a rubbish email today because I had another job rejection.
Roger and I play video games together, and every time we join up for another disappointing session, he'll go, I've just filled out a job application form, and you're getting a lot of knockbacks, man. But well done for keeping going.
Yeah, I just got to keep going, and I don't apologise for being angry, mate. Don't apologise. You've got every right to be angry. Me granddad was in a care home for the last few years of his life, and he had dementia. He couldn't really walk near the end, and he could never remember.
Yeah,
he'd always forget that he couldn't walk. And I think it were a case of somebody had not put the sides of his bed up just to keep him in, and he fell out of bed trying to get out of bed.
Oh no!
Luckily, we were in the position where I think my sister and his wife, who was he'd remarried after my grandma had died years later, and got him out of there, got him into a specialist dementia place.
Here's the thing, Roger. This is one of the best places. Where she is one of the better places. Imagine! It's one of the better ones!
I'm shocked about how easy it was to get out, because this is the one that... You needed a code.
Well, here's the thing, right? Residents are allowed to come and go, right? But I think they need to give... Because not everyone there... A lot of people there are physically... I don't know what the right word is.
Disabled.
Physically disabled. And some of them have cognition problems, shall we say, like my mum. But it's primarily for physically disabled, OK? And you'll often see one or two of them going up and down the shops. Sometimes they go with a carer. Some are well enough to go on their own, right? But surely you need to have someone... log in who's coming and going.
Here's the thing, right? When you wanted to take your mum out for the filming, they were all over that.
Oh, God, they went out took her out for the one show. They didn't want her to go!
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel.
The Earth says hello.
I've just come into my bedroom to get a better signal.
There we go. Perfect.
And I'm just looking at your Miley Cyrus CD.
Yes.
And I'm just going to open it up and see what the names of the tunes are.
Beautiful.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Okay.
I've been busy. I went to Age Concern today, and they're going to call me tomorrow because the other people are taking so long, the social services.
Okay. Well, that's good to speak to as many people as you can.
Help from two lots of people.
Brilliant.
So I had to pawn my mum's ring again today because I had no more money left.
Nigel.
No, but I know it's going into a bag, and then sealed the bag up, and you get the same ring back. There's nothing to worry about there. you get the same ring back.
Yeah. Well, how come you're out of money again? Because you were out of money last week. What's all the money going on?
No, basically, time I got a bit of shopping each day, it's a fiver gone, and it soon adds up, I was down to a fiver, and I had to get some more money. So now I've got £20 to go on with.
And when do you get more money? When do you get more money? Wednesday or next week?
Next Wednesday, not tomorrow.
So you got £20. You got £20 to last you a week.
Yeah, and that's difficult to make that last
mate,
week.
Isn't it?
Sorry.
Yeah, that is difficult. Yeah.
It is.
Is there anything? Is there anything that you're buying or spending on that maybe?
No, I'm only buying. I've run out of dinners. Your dinners. So I've had all your dinners now.
Right.
And I just buy a dinner for about £100.
He's buying £100 dinner. No wonder he's skin.
No, £1.79 for quite a good dinner. I had a roast beef dinner earlier. That was nice with everything. You know, like roast dinner.
Yeah.
You get proper meat and roast beef meat and all the other vegetables and potatoes. That was all right.
Yeah.
And then I have I buy those. Caramel puddings, where you get six for about £1.20.
Yes,
they're really cheap.
Yes.
And if you just have a couple of those, they last a few days, you get six of those. So I'm not buying expensive things at all, but it just seems to... And a couple of drinks, Coca-Colas.
Right.
It just seems to take away nearly a fiver every time. It doesn't take long, does it?
Yeah, I get it.
I just can't manage... Right. My mum used to give me £10 a day, and I used to get through £10 a day when she out of my money before.
Yeah.
So you're going to go and see Age Concern tomorrow?
No, they've got to call me because I've been to see them twice, yesterday and today.
Right.
So they're going to call me probably in the morning, I expect. I'm just looking at these. I don't know some of these songs that Miley Cyrus did. They're when she first started.
I thought you were the big Miley Cyrus fan.
Yeah, well, I know them if I hear them, but I don't actually know... I do know most of them, but not all of them. But the writing's very tiny to read for singing. I can only... Even though with my glasses on, I'll have a job to see it.
It's something... it's something to practice and something to...
I think the writing comes up on the TV if it's a karaoke one.
No, these won't. These are just CDs that you play, so these ones won't come up on the old...
But I'm sure, you know, if you can't read the writing on the inside of the CD box...
Pick it up from her singing anyway.
You can Google it.
Right. Nigel, listen. Yeah. I can't do this every week, and I can't... This will be the last one, but are you in tomorrow between 8 and 9?
In the morning?
No, in the evening.
Of course I am. Yes, I don't go out.
All right. I'm sending another food shop, all right?
Really?
Yeah. But
I could do with a bit of money,
I can't give you any money, Nigel, but I'm going to send...
I don't like to ask.
No, well, I don't like to say no, but...
Sorry, yep. Let me finish, Ian.
Yes?
Ian?
Yes?
I need a prescription from the chemist.
I can't do that. I can't sort that out, I'm afraid. Look, this is the last time I can do it, because I can't keep doing it.
No.
But I will send you about 10...
You don't have to. I don't have to.
But, you're a nice guy.
If you want to, I'll be very pleased.
There we go. I'm just clicking. It's going to come tomorrow between whatever time I just said. 8 or 9, I think. Or 7, I can't remember what time
The same sort of meal.
It's going to be exactly the same thing that you got sent before.
Yes.
With a chicken and mushroom pie added.
And I've been having cheese sandwiches with the cheddar cheese.
Is tomorrow Wednesday?
Yeah.
There we go. Right, it's done. That's the last time I can do it, man. I can't keep doing it, okay?
Yeah. I don't expect you to.
I know you don't. And I know you weren't asking to, but that's just the way it goes sometimes.
That would be lovely, thanks. And then I can save some of that money, can't I?
Exactly. Don't go pawning your mum's rings, but we need to start...
I'm so sorry.
I know. Don't worry, it's all cool. I don't mind buying you food. But we need
I'm cracking up.
You cracked up years ago, man! You cracked up about 40 years ago!
I told him at our age concern that every day I wake up, I feel a bit suicidal, you know, every time I wake up.
Have you told your doctor that this is going on?
Well, it's because I'm on my own so much in the evening, because I've been used to her being here.
Yeah. You know, but have you been to see your doctor and told her about this?
Yes.
And told them about...
Them they,
Nigel, listen to what Catherine's saying, please.
And told them about how you're feeling, but also told them about how you're struggling to feed yourself.
No, I haven't told the doctor about that.
Well, you need to. Dude, we've told you, Nigel, listen. I'm going to start being firm, right? We've told you three times you have to tell the doctor that, right? Listen, I'm happy to have bought you two shopping loads from Tesco.
But they won't get your benefit money, the doctors.
You don't know. You need to tell the doctor that you are unable to afford to feed yourself and that a random bloke on the radio has bought you 2 weeks' worth of shopping. You need to tell them that, and I can't buy you any more shopping, right? Because you need to tell them and they need to start taking action, and you need to tell the doctor.
Yeah. They tell you to go to a food bank when you speak to people in most different people.
No, listen. You need to speak to the doctor about it, and you need to tell them that you are getting to a point where you can't afford food for a week.
No,
and this is the second time this has happened.
I can't afford to buy drinks, no.
Well, you need to tell them that.
Because, Nigel, the doctor is the person who can put you in touch with the food bank. Random people can't do it. The doctor is the one that will have to refer you. But also, you need it to be on your record that this is happening. Because social service...
But they'll only say that they give me enough
Nigel, honestly, you can't keep giving us excuses, right? Stop making up what they're going to say to you. You don't know what they're going to say to you until you speak to them, all right?
When I saw Helen, she said I might be entitled to more benefits to help with the bills.
Brilliant, you might be.
And I have more money for food.
In the meantime, what did you have? You've got to go and pawn a ring so you can feed yourself?
I've done that already
And that's happening every 2 weeks. You can't carry on like that, Nigel.
You've got 20 quid now to last you for 8 days.
Yes, it's not enough.
It's the second time a random bloke who you've never met has quite happily, you know, asked me to. I've done it off my own free will.
I've known you a long time, Ian.
Has bought you. Yeah, but we don't know each other properly. And I've bought you. No. I've just spent 50 quid, 45 quid on a shop, which I'm happy to do, right? I'm very happy to do that. But this will be the last time that I do it because you need to start taking control of the situation.
Now,
maybe by another week or two that I should know more about whether I'm getting more benefits or not.
Hopefully.
But I'm not too worried because Helen said, don't worry.
Good. All right then.
She's in contact with everybody at the moment.
Well, these things can take a little while to sort out, but good.
Yeah,
it's all heading in the right direction.
There's always hope.
What was it we asked you to do? Who did we ask you to speak to?
The doctors first.
Right, but I want you to phone tomorrow. You have to phone up the doctor, book an appointment.
I will do.
And tell him that you cannot afford to feed yourself.
And I can't afford to get toiletries, like things to clean the toilet.
I wouldn't even worry about that at the moment. That's not the food is your priority at the moment.
At the moment, you're choosing between feeding yourself or paying bills, and that's not the way not the way it can be.
You know, I can't really afford to buy any shaving equipment either to shave.
Grow a beard. You look good with a beard.
No.
You look great with a beard. You look like Captain Birdseye.
I like to shave.
I got a beard. Beards are in. Come on, man. Join my beard club.
Nigel, important things first. We've got to make sure that you are not scrabbling around to try and feed yourself. Okay, so you need to go to the doctor.
No, but there's worse people off than me on the streets and that haven't got a roof over their head.
No, but you are in a position to help yourself here by just going and saying it to the doctor. So please don't make excuses, all right? And go for us and do that and tell them that you're feeling low. Because you keep talking to us about feeling suicidal.
It's all worrying me.
Worrying us. Listen, I'm going to end this now because you need
Thanks
to.
Get, so much,
it's now up to you to take some action. All right, the food's going to come.
The CD hasn't come.
No, I haven't sent it yet. We're going to send it out tonight. Yeah. It will probably come Thursday or Friday. All right, the Beatles.
I'm looking forward to that.
All right, nice one, Nigel. Thanks very much. Take care, man. I don't know what to do. Did I do the right thing buying him more food then?
I don't see how. I can understand why you did.
Yeah. So I didn't do the right thing.
I think you did, but...
That's the last time. That's the last time. So I can't keep doing it every week, can I? No.
No. Here's the thing. What worries me is that he's living from... Like a lot of people, he's living from, you know, payment to payment, right? But he's getting into this habit of, you know, pawning things and then...
Well, he did try and tap us for money on Twitter at the weekend when we were doing the rabbit hole. I saw a tweet saying I need 70 quid to pay my phone bill. Can you call me?
And he asked you for money just then.
Asked me for money. I'm not going to give him money. I think that would be inappropriate. Please, please, dear listener, may God bless you, but don't start suggesting a crowdfunding or a GoFundMe or anything like that, because that isn't appropriate in this situation. Although it's very kind of you to consider that as an option. Did I do the right thing buying him food? It tides him over for a week.
Yeah.
It's 45 quid. I can afford that. But that then has to be it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I can't be an enabler. But then I can't let him starve.
No. I think what I will do is just nudge everyone again tomorrow and say, you know, what's going on here?
Jesus, man, the state of this country.
Here's the thing. The only people who've not got back to me, Age Concern got back to me. I've spoken to MenCap. They approached me.
Council didn't get back.
Council didn't get back, no. But Helen Grant assures me that that she's in talks with social services.
Or was it a lovely photo opportunity?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then let's pull our fingers out, please, council. Oh, man.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send them this clip tomorrow. And then, hear it for themselves.
And then it's just, you know, and a lot of people have pointed out this isn't very healthy for you and I. Because I know I certainly tend to take this stuff. You know, we bought him two food shops and, a few birthday CDs. We can't become a replacement for his mum.
No. And what I worry about is that once that crisis is averted, once he heard he had his shop in there, then he starts to zone out again. And, you know, we're trying to get him to get himself into the system, and we can't do that for him.
At some point, are we going to have to say we can't be involved in this anymore? In the same way with Naveed, that we've kind of presented him with all these... You have presented him with all these potential opportunities and things, but he's not prepared to take it, so we can't do any more until he asks for help. Do we have to do the same with Nigel at some point? And is that callous? Is that broken Britain to say, Nigel, we can't help you with this anymore? You're kind of on your own. He's a kid. The guy. Mm. Here's the thing, right? Everyone thinks it's a bit weird because he likes young girls. I've worked it out. It's because he's a kid. Mm. It's because he's 12. He's 10 years old in his head. So, of course, he likes young girls. And I don't think he poses any kind of threat sexually. I never thought that. And a lot of people said, the stuff he posts on his Facebook. He's 10 years old in his head, thereabouts, right?
Yeah, with a Facebook account.
Yeah. And he shouldn't be living on his own. No. Shouldn't be living on his own. But what can we do?
I'm just hoping that... Everyone I've spoken to who is engaging with me has agreed that he needs someone just to oversee things, especially financially. Where's that person?
Ah, man. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
This is a show that invites honesty from you and also honesty from me in a level that I think is unprecedented on British radio. So I'm going to tell you why the start of that Cilla Black song was quiet. It's because I wasn't in the studio and Catherine was operating the computer and the volume was down on my computer. I apologise to that, Catherine. I should have boosted the volume. Here's the thing. Literally 30 seconds before the mics went live, I followed through. Now, I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I shouldn't be embarrassed.
Actually, though?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. That's not a joke. It's not a piece. It's not a gag.
A splatter.
It's not a gag. God. Okay, that's fair enough.
Could you not?
I followed through. Not massively.
Do you know what?
Yep.
No sympathy. You've been pushing them out as hard as you can all night. Honestly,
He pushes them out
to spite me.
And this is it. This is it. Okay.
So to me,
We're supposed to get behind me too, with people like you, women, right? But what about me poo? Hashtag me poo.
You deserve it.
You see? Well, you deserve to get touched up by a film producer.
I've not been pushing out.
You deserve to get touched up to get a job because you're a woman.
You have been.
Do you know what I mean?
His bum has been used as a weapon against me for some weeks now.
Now I'm going to get called out for saying those things. But you just switch it round. It's exactly the same thing.
It's not the same.
Exactly the same thing.
That.
She's pointing at me.
That you've been doing has been leading up to this moment, and I hope you finally learnt your lesson.
Well, I hope. Catherine, by the way, I've got a job for you filling in for me next week when I'm not here, but I've got to have a go on your boobs.
What?
Yeah, well, sorry, it's not funny. Oh, right, it's not funny when it's directed towards women, but when hate and bile and bullying is directed towards men, that's funny.
You were directing your bile at me all week.
You see?
And now your bile's escaped.
You see?
Serves you right.
And women wonder why... women wonder why.
I do.
Yep.
Seriously, man.
It's actually a true story, and I was expecting... you know I have mental health issues. And you know I'm very upset about my mum, and yet you think it's acceptable...
It seems to have affected your backside.
It's acceptable to just have a go at me because I have a physical illness.
Been gassing me out for weeks.
Hey, I know what, Catherine. Why don't we phone up a cancer ward and you can laugh? Let's do that, shall we? Because it's a physical...
I don't think they're doing it on purpose.
You don't know?
Well... I'd ask my grandma, but unfortunately she's not
wow.
around anymore.
Wow! Wow!
You had to bring it up.
Wow! Wow!
Seriously, man.
Let's get... We need to...
You need to, though.
I did. And I've sorted it. Now I'm clenched. We'll make it through this together. It's going to be a tough show tonight, but we're going to get there, guys. We're going to get there. Who is your favourite Terrorhawk? 0344... 499-1000. Going to be some show tonight, guys.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000 is on. Everyone give us a call. We call you back. Alan Caddick.
Hi, boss.
Oh, God. Is it more Death Watch?
No, that would have been yesterday's call.
Why? Well, who died yesterday?
Scott Walker.
Okay. What's your favourite Scott Walker song?
But I'm not going to sign anymore.
Yeah, you know the Walker brothers?
Yeah.
They weren't brothers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they weren't brothers.
Well, that's the same about the relationship between me and Robert.
You and Robert aren't brothers?
We've fallen out big time.
Oh, yeah. Why is that? Because he's quite controlling and bullying?
Well, there was jealousy on both sides.
Yeah.
And things have been said, and now he was staying with Mum and Dad for a few days, and now he's gone back to Blackpool, and he's never coming down ever again. He's cut all ties with me, well, Mum and Dad.
Well, hang on a minute. Let's... OK, hang on a second. Hang on, I need to get some... Let's sort this out. We can sort this out. We need some appropriate music. Hang on a second. Let's... Oh, man alive. Well, life is so hard to navigate, isn't it? OK,
yeah.
So tell us in your own words, Alan, exactly what happened.
Well, I was helping my mum tidy up the kitchen, and my mother was helping Dad on the allotment. Robert came back and said, have you had a wash? Because Dad's going to moan as he's had a drink. I took it all away and moaned to my mum. That caused an argument between my mum and Robert. And Robert said, I'm going back to Blackpool. You're never going to see me again. I said, if you're going to go, I'm going to go. So he stormed out. I stormed out. Luckily, I went to work and my boss calmed me down. Mum said, get back home. And now, while that's going on, my brother was getting in a taxi to go into town to get a coach back to Blackpool. And now he's back home in Blackpool, and he said he's never coming down ever again.
Screw him.
No, wait.
Oh, sorry. No,
this all started because he asked you if you had a wash.
Yeah, and I did have a wash. And he thinks I didn't.
Alan. Had you actually had a wash?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Proper one with soap.
I spent an hour in the bath, Kath.
Oh, okay. Gosh, all the crevices.
Was there water in the bath?
Yes.
Okay.
Up to me, belly button.
Okay. Well, I go back to the advice I was originally going to offer. Screw him.
No.
Sounds like a loser. Who needs brothers? I haven't got a brother. Well, I sort of have.
I'm officially an only child.
Oh, come on, Alan.
It means you get more in the will, Alan.
I know, and at least I can spend all my energy looking after Mum and Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Screw him. This guy's a loser.
No, this is such a shame.
Not
you
advice.
Two were good friends, and I know that he's proud of you.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
OK, well, we're asking if anybody can explain where we are, because I just don't get it. I just don't get it. It's so depressing. Well, it's not even depressing. It's just like... I've given up. I'm out. I'm not voting anymore. I'm not getting involved in their shenanigans. I'm not playing their game anymore. It's not happening. And we're also asking for... we're sacking off the actors that played the regular callers on the show. So George, Rainbow George, Alan, Nigel from Maidstone. They were just asking too much money. Contracts were up for renewal. So doing the classic thing of not renewing them and getting new actors to play them. It could be you. If you want to be one of our classic regular callers, call up now and audition. 0344 499 1000.
We're just refreshing things. It's good to do that after the third season.
Oh, well, let's not say that because I would like to be here for year number four, which I think I am going to be here for year number four. Imagine. Mmm. I forgot there was coffee and it's gone a little bit cold. So NASA are doing this thing. NASA wants to pay... I'm up for this. NASA wants to pay people £14,000 to stay in bed for 2 months watching films and reading books to study the effects of microgravity.
Yes, please.
Separate beds, but we're in.
We could top and tail.
The 60-day study will involve doing everything lying down in a special cot.
Oh, hang on. Do you have to poo in there?
Hang on a minute. Here we go. All right. I will do it with you. Bagsy, I'm not this one. 24 participants will be selected. Half, that's you, will be spun in a centrifuge.
Oh, no.
To see if artificial gravity chambers are viable for long-duration space travel. Volunteers are being offered £14,000. By the way, Angela's calling in. If anyone wants to play Angela... now's a good time to call 0344 499 1000. Volunteers are being offered £14,000 to lie in bed for 2 months and watch TV to help NASA understand how space travel will affect astronauts. The dream job for many is designed to see how artificial gravity affects the human body, and participants will need to do everything lying flat, including going to the lavvy.
Oh, no.
Space experts from NASA and ESA will study them around the clock in a bid to understand how astronauts may be affected by prolonged spells in space, with muscle wasting the main concern. ESA, I'm guessing that's the European Space Agency, who, let's be honest, are rubbish, they don't really count, claim it is integral in understanding the damage that may be caused by weightlessness, cosmic radiation, isolation and spatial restrictions. 24 volunteers will be subjected to 60 days of permanent bed rest in Cologne. All participants must speak the German.
Ah.
You speak the German, yeah?
Kann ein bisschen Deutsch.
Ja, ein bisschen. Ein bisschen Düsseldorf. Franzi. I was speaking to a German when I was playing the Apex Legend video game on the PS4. Donnerstag.
Oh. Ich möchte ein Erdbeereis ohne Sahne, bitte.
Ja. Only requirements are that participants are between 24 and 55. Yep, and healthy. Yep. They'll be propped up at a slight incline with their feet elevated above their head and body to reduce blood aggregating in the body's extremities. Mm-hmm. This is expected to mimic the effects of being in space and may result in numbness and muscle wasting. The project, it also recommends the participants use the time and opportunity to enrol in some online courses. No thanks. Just a good lie down.
Can I work from home? I want to go there.
Half the participants will undergo treatments akin to that of an artificial gravity chamber. They will be spun around in a centrifuge at 30 revolutions a minute in the hope it will force blood back into their extremities, your fingers, your toes, your willy. It is hoped... a 3-month time block will need to be cleared in order to take part in the study, as a 2-week period of rehabilitation will follow the test. I'm in. I'm totally in. I'm up for that. I'm up for that, Sophie. Are you up for that?
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
No one does. No one does. Say hello, Catherine, and hold it.
Hello.
No, go hello.
Can you hear me?
Hang on.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Sam, can you finish this off for us?
Hello.
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 See, no.
Hello.
See, no one does it anymore, Sophie. Would you like to join in with us?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so
do I have to pretend I've seen this thing on Twitter. Do I have to pretend to be that person straight away?
No, hang on. You're going to say hello quite low and hold it.
Oh.
Go.
Hello.
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 There you go. No one does that anymore. People used to do that all the time.
My little dog's head's gone funny.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Do you need to call a vet?
So, you know when they go sideways?
Oh, yes, and they go sideways.
It's so cute.
Get rid of a dog. Get two cats.
Oh, really? No, never.
Sorry, yeah, cats are better than dogs.
Okay.
What can we do for you, Sophie?
No, because I thought it was a bit of fun in my life tonight. I've had a really bad day, last couple of days.
Oh.
And I just saw your that thing on Twitter about auditioning, so I thought I'd just ring up. I got through straight away. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we don't get many calls. We're not very popular.
Oh, okay.
Sophie, who would you like to be?
Boozy Lady.
You want to... That was one of the names.
Sophie's auditioning for the role of Boozy Lady.
A random drunk, a random miserable man and a boozy lady. All right, Sophie. Well, I tell you, Catherine, why don't you lead this call?
Okay.
We'll just go straight into it. It's just a workshop, Sophie. Relax, enjoy it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. But by the way, I've never heard any of your shows. I know that sounds really bad, but I don't know. Anyway, I'll just do my best, okay?
Okay. Have you been a boozy lady ever? Because you could just embody that now.
Yeah, okay, I've done that, yeah.
Okay, right, and scene, Catherine.
Okay, on line three, we've got Sophie. Hey, Sophie.
All right, darling, all right.
Oh, Sophie, you sound like you've... have you been out tonight?
Yeah, my head is spinning, darling, it's spinning.
Oh, what have you got for us tonight? What did you want to talk about?
Oh, God. I want to talk about my... my marriage, if that's all right. If that's all right. Do you mind if I talk about that? Is that all right?
Of course not. You can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
What's going on, Sophie?
It's just no sex. Do you know what I mean? Just no getting sex. And are you allowed to say that? I don't know if you're allowed to
You're allowed
that.
To say that, if that's what's going on or not going
yeah.
on.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what do they do? What's happening? It's not happening.
How long has it not been happening?
Well, I bought a rabbit... a couple of weeks ago. It's got about 6 months. Not a rabbit in a hutch, obviously. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. A rabbit. Do you know that?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
A pink one, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't survive in the wild.
No, they don't like carrots. Although, I have tried a carrot. Anyway, I don't want to go down this. No. You know, what can I say? Anyway, so, yeah, it's just this really... I've just had so much to drink. I've done that my solos. Oh, it's a bit of gin and something else. I've got to take the dogs out for a walk. I don't know, I can't do it.
I think the dogs maybe can go without a walk tonight. Maybe what you should do is drink some water. Have a lie down.
Yeah, maybe, but the room is spinning. It's like it's spinning. Like, I've had to take the carrots out of the fridge as well because the rabbit's the battery's gone. I'll tell you what, my head is spinning.
Is that the booze or the rabbit that's done that?
Oh, I don't know, I can't find it now. I think the kids have played, thought it was something, and taken it somewhere.
And scene! Well done! Sophie, are you sure you've never listened to this show before? That was spot on.
And I just wanted to release, and I thought, bloody, I'm going to ring up and just, you know what I mean?
Sophie, you've got the job. Unless someone comes on and does it better, and I don't see how they can, you've got the role of Boozy Lady.
Well, thank you very much.
So hang on, did you just listen tonight just because I tweeted... you follow me on Twitter, I guess?
Well, no, what happened was something happened, God, I can't remember, with you. You saved someone's life. It was amazing. So you came on my news feed and then I followed you. And I just thought, wow, and I just, like, how you are, you're very straight talking. And I just saw this, I thought, oh, my God, I just want a bit of fun, you know. And
yeah.
I just thought I'd bring it up. So that's it, really.
Well, Sophie, is what a lovely, lovely first phone call. I hope we speak again, either as yourself or the Boozy Lady.
So how does it work, then? Do I just... Does it happen, like, at 10 o'clock every night? Or
Here's the thing, right? Monday to Friday, 10 till 1, is me and Catherine, and we... kind of just sit and we talk rubbish. You can listen to us online or on the Talk Radio app or on DAB. We sit and talk rubbish and you can call in about the stuff we're talking about or about absolutely anything.
But just a little note about Boozy Lady. Boozy Lady tends to only ring us up maybe once or twice and generally after the second time they fall out with us.
Right, OK. And I can ring up at about 10 because I usually get to bed quite early. You know, I don't want to get to bed too late. So I can ring you about 10. Yeah. Is that all right?
Of course you can.
Yeah.
OK, that's
nice
great.
Nice one, Sophie.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Take care. There you go. What a great first call. What a great first call. I'm not in next week, by the way, guys. You've got Kath on a solo mission, so that'll be well worth tuning into. I've got a week off. But I like that. Isn't that nice? I never listened before. I saw the tweet and went, I'll give it a go.
She was very good.
That was brilliant. She went straight into it. Angela's up next. We'll come to her in a second. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I would like to dress up as a woman, but do it convincingly, because I think I could pull it off. Steady. Do it really convincingly. The kids in the hall, right? Reading that book about kids in the hall, the Seth Meyers book, finally. I only had him on 6 months ago. I'm finally getting around to reading the book, and it's a great read. And I've got the box sets, and I need to watch them, right? But the kids in the hall... Have I got the book with me? Yes, I have. When the kids in the hall played women, right, they didn't do Monty Python Pepper Pot women. They did hot women, right? Let me find you... Okay, so this is them as Sex Girl Patrol. Look at those hot women, particularly Dave Foley, there, that guy there. They're hot women, right?
Yeah.
Aren't they? And on the top left, in the top left as well, I think it's Scott Thompson and maybe Bruce McCulloch. They're convincing women. They're not physically parodying. They're not, you know, they look like women, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do. I want to dress up, not necessarily as a hot woman, although I would be hot. You can't deny genetics. look at Bruce McKinney. Look at Bruce McKinney as a woman there. I mean, wow.
Makeup is great.
Exactly, and that's it. A lot of it is wigs and makeup. A lot of it is wigs and makeup. So I would, you know, I'd get top quality wigs.
A lot of it on real women is wigs and makeup.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But if anybody can help this, it's not a sexual fantasy, although, I don't know, something might click, I don't know, it's not what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it because I think I'd look better than most women.
Okay. We've only been practicing forever, but yeah, you crack on with your one day.
Well, I think, don't be offended. Don't be offended. It's not in any way. It's not a burn, right? I'm not burning you.
Oh no, you're not even touching me.
No. Exactly. Oh, exactly. I'd be light years ahead of you.
No.
Well, but if I were, why would that be a problem? You look quite blokey. And I don't complain.
Well, it's nothing to do with you, how I look.
Exactly. Exactly. So you should take it as a compliment.
That you think that you would look better automatically than people who've been women forever.
Yeah. Take that as a compliment.
You don't see how that might be slightly presumptuous?
No. Well...
Are you going to keep the beard? That's the question.
No, I do it... No, I shave the beard. Mm-hmm. Of course, I do it properly. I would do this properly. This would be genuine. What we need is we need to find someone who can help this. I'm just going to say fantasy, but again, that implies some kind of sexual undertone or overtone.
Funny that, isn't it?
Let's do this. I want to look glamorous. I want to look beautiful. Don't want to look tarty, but I want to look fun.
What's fun? What's the definition of fun?
The fun will come from my eyes, actually.
Okay.
The little twinkle in the eyes, as if to say, oh. Maybe, you know.
Maybe what?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe I will dance with you, sir. Maybe I will dance with you, sir.
Wow, you're a 1940s woman.
Could be. Well, maybe that. I don't know what my era is. I don't know what my look is.
Okay.
Don't know what my look is. It's just something to think about.
Okay, that's nice.
We're doing a show in Scotland soon.
You need to talk to Shane Ritchie because he's working on a show at the moment where he'd be able to tell you the techniques.
I will do, actually. I will.
Because you need a Pritt stick. I'm telling you that now.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
That's how you get rid of your eyebrows.
Okay, fine.
And then you draw new ones on. I've been watching a lot of Drag Race.
There's some Pritt stick downstairs, so we can start tonight. But we're doing a show in Scotland, and there's 12 tickets left for the Scottish show. I thought they would have all gone by now, but they haven't. But there's 12 tickets left in June, I think it is. And a company, obviously, the company's coming. I can't remember what they're called, but they're coming to see the show, and they're a kilt hire company. They've offered to lend me a kilt. the full get up for the day, and I thought, oh, that's nice, but I'm not going to do it because
Why?
I think
cultural appropriation.
Well, yeah, it's like blacking up.
Well, it's not really, though, is it?
Wearing a kilt is like
blacking
up.
Haven't you got Scottish heritage?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Yes and no, and kind of yes and no. Yes, that my granddad was Scottish, but no, turns out he actually wasn't my dad's real dad. So, you know, there's stuff. I've worn kilts before, but I'm not going to do it because it is a little bit... going to Scotland and dressing up in a kilt, it's a little bit.
Yeah, but they're dressing you up, so that's for their amusement. It's not
well,
yours.
No, it's a little bit. No, I'm not gonna do that. But what I'm saying is, by the way, if you want to come and see us in Scotland, 12 tickets left, ianlee.com/event. Oh, I've got it in my car.
What have you got?
The memory card of the show that we did in Luton, so we can put it out as a podcast. There'll be a new Rabbit Hole podcast this week. Anyway, 0344-499-1000. Good evening, Angela.
Hi, Ian, Catherine.
Hey, Angela.
Good evening. I was doing some live streaming on my YouTube.
Some live rimming?
Live streaming.
Live, you know, live rimming?
Streaming.
Live streaming. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I've not got my headphones on. Yes.
Yeah. Right, this, I was doing the cards. And when each pack came out...
So hang on, did you want us to live stream?
Yeah, I was on live stream, yeah.
No, but because Alan Caddick phoned us up, Alan, yeah. The original Alan Caddick,
yeah.
Phoned us up and told us, said that we should be live streaming. You told him to tell us that we should start live streaming.
No, what I was trying to tell him, that I was on live streaming, I wanted to give you the reading I wanted to give you. And it was pretty good.
I'm glad that guy's been fired. That guy's a dunce. What does dunce mean? Well, I know what it means. What's the origin of the word dunce, to be a dunce?
Dunce.
The dunce's hat. I wonder if dunce was like a Shakespearean character. I don't think it was, but it feels like it's that kind of, you know, it feels more like a name that's become...
If to me, it feels like some sort of abbreviation, like a do...
A douchebag.
A do once or something.
A do once. Okay, yeah, dunce. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We can Google. You Google it while I talk. I palm Angela off.
Yeah. You think you've had an interesting month.
Yes.
There's a few things that's not bad. It's quite good. You answered one of my questions. You're having a break. Why are you having this break? You need to make a decision.
What do you mean? Why am I having this break?
Yeah.
Because it's Easter holidays and I'm taking my boys away for a week.
Yeah, but while you're having a break, you need to make some important decisions.
Do I feed the boys today? Do I cook for the boys in the cabin, or do we go to the cafe that's 100 yards away? I think we know the answer to that. Although I'm going to get a Tesco delivery on Monday morning and
that,
take food with me. Clever.
It's just around you, mainly. There's a helpful person around you that wants to help you, a third party.
Is it you?
No.
Third party fire and theft?
No, it's someone that's close to you that wants to help you.
Someone not close to me?
Someone that wants to help you.
Right.
That's close to you, but you're not accepting that help at the minute.
Okay.
But you will.
Is it Catherine?
Well, give me a chance, yeah. Right.
Calm down.
The question you've been asking from heaven,
what?
It will take a while, but...
A while?
It will... A while.
A while? James Whale.
Yeah, you know what I mean. A while. And they will answer your question.
What is the question?
Well, whatever you've been thinking about. You've had something on your mind. And
I've been thinking, should I buy a PlayStation 3?
No.
That's what I've been thinking
more.
A lot. Hang on a minute. Sam, have you got a PlayStation 3 for sale?
Well, you can have it if you want.
Is it... Hang on a minute. To come on the microphone. Sorry. Now, I need to know what generation it is. Is it the big, fat, chunky one?
It's not the original.
No, I can't use it. I want it to play PS2 games on.
Oh, no, I don't think that's...
Thanks for your help, Sam.
It's a bit more interesting than that, because on my second laptop, it said that you'd be all right for me. But the one that the lady is questioning is Catherine, because he's quite sensitive. And that came out in my new pack of cards. But there's a King of Swords, and it said Foundation. So there's something... that you've been wishing for, if you know what I mean. But there's a few sharks that you know who they are. And the ace of wands is growth, but that was upside down. But that was telling you that you had to go inside you for what you saw.
Okay.
It's telling you to be more creative.
More creative, right. Flipping it. I'm putting out, including this radio show, I'm putting out about five to six hours of live streamed entertainment every single day. How can I be more creative? I'm doing 3 hours of radio, then I go home and do about 45 minutes of the Chit Chat Club. I do about 2 hours of streaming video games and about an hour of me streaming, just chatting.
No, what it means by that, with yourself, not with your work, but with you.
Ah, having an intelligent self-pleasuring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Angela. That's really cleared up a lot. Not a clue what that was about. You, Catherine?
No, okay. I think it was about, 6 minutes of talking?
It certainly filled some time. Thank you, Angela. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And the lesson we've learnt from that is never get classic Caddick to pass on a message as he hasn't got a clue. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. SB Avenue. We're trying to replace the classic regular callers with new actors. It's time to move on. It's time to shake things up. So far, Alan Caddick is being played by Ray. Unless anybody can do a better Alan Caddick than Ray. And the part of Random Boozy Lady is being played by first-time caller Sophie. That was some call. That was a great call. You've got to respect that. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. Every weeknight from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock in the morning. You can listen on DAB. You can download the app. Or you can go to talkradio.co.uk. 03444991000.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I don't want to bang on about this. I tweeted about it, but I got a key ring today. I don't want to bang on about it because people find it boring, right? And people think, are you doing it to show off? Yeah, I'm showing off a little bit. I got a year clean today, man. A year and a day ago, I was shoving cocaine up my nose and watching porn for like 24 hours and was miserable and wanted to die. And then, what are we now? Is it the 27th? The 27th of March, 2018, I stopped taking drugs, and that was it. And I'm a year clean now, and I got a key ring. And I mentioned it on Twitter, and I was thinking, well, should I mention it on Twitter? It is actually going to cause me a couple of problems in a couple of areas in my life where I told specific people I hadn't used again, but it was too close to the scene of the crime. So a couple of people will go, I thought, but that's fine. I can deal with that. That's not a problem. But the reason I'm saying it is because I had 13 years and then I relapsed for about 3 months, maybe a week or two over 3 months. And then I got back in recovery. And the only reason I'm sharing it, two reasons. One, actually, all right, it's fair play. It's quite good for the ego. We're supposed to keep this stuff secret, separate from press, radio and films. But you know what? But also, I'm saying it so that anybody else who is struggling with booze and alcohol knows that it can be stopped. Anybody else who's had a relapse and is too ashamed to go back to meetings or therapy or church or treatment or whatever it is that worked for you the first time, that actually there's no shame in it. You get welcomed back with open arms. You might get a bit of a, oh, you silly sod, but you get welcomed back to these places with open arms. So the quicker you can get back into whatever it was that worked for you the first time, the quicker you can start getting clean. And that there is an option, there is an alternative. It doesn't have to be as lousy as that. So I'm 13 years, and I shoved that up my nose. I'm a year clean. It can be done. Hang in there, kids. Everything is possible. Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Nigel.
Right. Got on quicker, didn't I?
Sorry?
I got on quicker. I didn't have to wait.
We've not got many calls.
No, not tonight.
Not tonight. Not tonight, Josephine.
No. I got your shopping.
It came, did it?
About half nine.
Brilliant. Wicked.
Pardon? Yeah, I got it. Thanks. Thanks very much for the shopping.
It's a pleasure. How's everything going today?
I went in. No one's rung me about from age concern or social services.
Okay.
So that's the sooner I can get that sorted out, the better.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, I can't pay any bills till I get my money.
No.
So I need to pay the electric, submit on the electric bill. And, the poll tax thing, that's too... And then I've got my phone bill, so it's all bills, isn't it?
You need to speak to the companies and tell them you've got no money and see if they can come up with a plan to make make the payment smaller.
Well, I am making the payment smaller myself, but they can't go too... bills have to be paid up quicker.
No, Nigel, listen, you've really got to listen to me, dude. This is one of the things you don't do is listen. We are giving you specific things you need to do. You need to phone up each of the people you owe money to and tell...
I do.
Nigel, please listen, mate.
Yeah.
Please listen, right? Focus, just for a minute. You have to phone them up and say, I have no money to pay this. Can I make a smaller payment?
Yeah.
Because... they want the money, right? They'd rather you paid the money over a longer period of time than didn't pay any money at all.
No. But if you don't pay the bill up in a certain time, they can cut your electric off, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can, actually, anymore. I don't quite know how it works. But they can take you to court.
I don't think they can.
They can take you to court.
Yeah,
but
I'm only a week behind at the moment anyway.
Well, you got to let's keep it at a week behind and don't let it get into 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks.
No.
That's very easily done.
It's because I told them that I was talking to the MP, Helen Grant.
Okay.
So they know about her, and they've not bothered me since. They haven't been sending me bills or anything.
Well, but they will. They haven't forgotten about you though, and they will.
No. Yeah. But they know I can't pay until next week anyway, so because I've told them.
Can you pay next week?
Yeah, yes, of course I can pay quite a bit next week out of my money.
All right, fine.
The poll tax people, where I went to talk about the poll tax in Mason, they don't seem to be too worried about missing a week either.
Okay.
So there's just the two things sorted. My phone bill's not for till next month in April.
Okay.
So that's all right. I've done quite well, really, haven't I? Sorting it all out.
You've done quite well. Yes.
Yeah.
But you need someone to help you get on top of it, and that can't be me or Catherine. You need the council or Helen Grant or Age Concern or MenCap or someone to get on top of it for you, because otherwise it can be problematic.
I haven't spoken to anyone, shown anyone my bills yet. Like, if I'm to sit round the table and show the people my bills, the social worker.
Yeah.
But that's not happened yet. But it will happen at Helen Grant's place when they ring me.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
That's what I'm waiting for. But besides the bills.
Yeah.
It's just difficult for me. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, and I can't afford to buy a card at the moment, which I want. You know, I just haven't got enough money to buy a card.
Well, why don't you make a card? That's what my boys do when they've got no money. That's what I did when I had no money. I made a card.
No.
Here's the thing, Nigel. Right, can you hear me?
Yes.
You can't afford to buy a card.
Nigel,
I bought you food yesterday because you didn't have enough money for food. You can't. You've got to start. You've got to grow up a little bit at the moment, mate.
Yeah.
You can't buy a card.
No.
You can't buy a card. You can't afford it. Food and your bills are the only things you should be looking at paying at the moment until you're in a better position. Yeah.
What I meant to say was the blackness and the shock of not being here still, you know, it's what's bothering me.
Yeah.
I feel that things are closing in on me.
I get that. It's tough, dude.
Have you made an appointment with your doctor?
I forgot this morning because I was tired from being
Nigel,
up all night.
Listen, we are giving you very specific suggestions that will help you.
I went round the doctor this afternoon and the receptionist said that he wouldn't be able to help me with those things.
Nigel... Don't talk to the receptionist about it. You've got to speak to the doctor.
She's got to give him a message and she wants to
pass the message on. Nigel, we gave you really specific things, right? Yeah. Don't tell the receptionist what you want to see a doctor for. It's none of their business.
No.
You want to see the doctor because you're suffering from depression.
Well, they shouldn't be asking me questions when I want an appointment.
You don't answer them, Nigel. There's only so much me and Kath can do, right? And if you're not prepared to listen, then we're going to have to stop this, right?
Nigel,
you have to listen, man.
Yes.
Right? You have to listen because this is more serious than you realise, okay? You have to make an appointment to see the doctor. You are suffering from a medical condition called depression, I would imagine, right? So you need to speak to the doctor about your depression. When you are in, when you are in with the doctor, stuff the receptionist. It's none of their business. When you are in with the doctor, you talk about the depression, you talk about missing your mum, and you talk about not having enough money for food, and about having to get a bloke on the radio to buy food for you. You have to tell him all of that. Yeah. Don't tell the receptionist. It's none of their business.
No, they try to shove you off, don't they? Because they've got so many people, I think.
Well, you have a right to see your GP.
I'll sort that out, but the only people that can help me get more benefits is the social worker.
Yeah, the doctor might be able to help you get something from a food bank.
Yeah.
And they'll also flag you up to social services.
So you need to speak to, the doctor, not the receptionist.
But I'm already taking antidepressants already.
Okay, Nigel. We've told you what we think you should do.
Yes, it's up to you. I'm doing all the things.
No, you're not. It's up to you whether you decide to act on that or not. Okay, I've literally just told you what
but
I think you should do.
You have to wait for an appointment. You can't just see them straight away.
Okay, Nigel. Well, I've told you what I think you should do. It's up to you whether you decide to act on it.
But I've just got to wait for them to contact me because it's been nearly a week.
Okay, the doctor isn't going to contact you.
No, the social workers.
Nigel, all right, Nigel. Listen, I'm going to let you go now because I've told you what I think you should do. If you choose to act on that, that's great. And if you don't, I think that you're making a bit of a bad choice. But that's entirely up to you.
There's
okay?
not much you can do to help me, is there?
Sorry.
Really? There's not much you can do to help with the money side.
No.
I can. They can't always give you more money, can they?
I don't know.
I won't know until I speak to somebody anyway.
Yeah, but possibly your doctor.
No. The social workers are the ones that.
Okay, Nigel. All right, Nigel. Listen, I'm going to let you go, mate. You let us know how it goes on. Maybe we'll. What day is it today? Wednesday. Maybe we'll speak on Friday. Okay.
Maybe I hear from them by Friday. The social workers.
I don't know, dude. You need to speak to Helen Grant again, and you need to speak to your doctor.
Well, she wasn't there today. I went in.
Okay. All right, Nigel. Listen, I'm going to let you go. Maybe we'll speak on Friday, okay?
No worries. Then I'm coping well.
Good luck. All right. Thank you, Nigel. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Kathy, you're all right. What's wrong?
Just caught wind of you.
Okay, well that's fake news. It's fake news.
It's not fake. It's old news, unfortunately.
Okay.
Fetid.
Calm down. Let's go to Michael. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Ian.
What can we do for you on this most holiest of Thursdays?
Well, of this most holiest of Thursdays, I have one question and then a little game if you're willing to play.
Oh, mate, we're in. This is what we live for. Yes.
Have you played Lego Pirates?
No. What is it?
Off of the Lego games.
I know. Off of the Lego games. That's such a great phrase. Yeah. What do you mean, like the video games?
Yeah.
I've not seen Lego Pirates. No, my boys love all that stuff, but no.
I've not played a Lego game before, but it's really good.
I like the Lego games. I like watching my boys play them, although they're starting to get a bit bored of them. I tell you what we were playing today on the PS2, SpongeBob SquarePants. I bought 25 PS2 games for 20 quid, or was it 20 games for 25 quid? Either way. And there's loads of stuff. SpongeBob SquarePants we were playing today. Oh, it was great. But no, I've not played Lego Pirates. I've played all the Lego Star Wars and Lego Indiana Jones and all of that stuff, but not Lego Pirates.
Well, I've been playing with my stepson, and it's absolutely brilliant. Next, would you, the quick game, if you would like to play.
Is it Lego Pirates? I'm in.
No, we could do that. Although I'm having a bit of a celebrity party at the moment.
Yes.
Although there's no music because my missus has a laptop and I couldn't put any background on.
Okay.
So I'll bring a celebrity up to the phone, and you have to guess who the celebrity is.
Okay, hang on a second. Well, let's get some party music. We need some... Hang on a minute. Let's get some party music. Hang on a minute. Everyone calm down. For crying out loud. Here we go. Let's get... here we go. Right. Mrs. Mills. Go on.
OK. So I'll hand the phone over now to one of my celebrity guests. You have to guess who it is.
Beautiful.
OK, here we go. I'll just hand the phone over now.
Thank you, man.
OK, you ready?
Michael's handing the phone over.
Oh, yes.
Sean Connery.
Oh, my God, I used to be in the movies. Yes, it's me, Sean. I'll just hand the phone back to Michael.
Well, hang on, Sean Connery.
I'm Sean Connery.
Hang on a minute, you've got a... You've got a fake Sean there.
That was quick.
You've got a fake Sean there.
Hang on, you ready? Next one.
Connie.
Hang on, wait a sec.
It's too busy in his
counting. Turn the phone over. You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
I need to buy a tournament doors for my child.
He sounds like Emo Phillips.
Yeah, but I think it's supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, is it?
I'm the governor.
The governor ticket. Yeah, Arnold, okay. Yeah. Is this a recording? Okay.
No. All right, I've got another. This one's really difficult.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Come here. Hey. I'm Alan Carr. Okay, who was that?
No idea.
Was it Justin Lee Collins?
No.
Well. Okay, I've got one.
Go on, let's go.
I'll have a bag of chips and a can of Tizer, please.
Oh, hang on.
I'm Roger Moore.
I've got one.
Go on.
Go.
What the hell is going on? I was told I was coming to like a palace with all the finest celebrities.
Sanjeev Bhaskar.
No.
And all I got is that. You guys. I never heard of you. Yeah, Jackie.
Okay, so someone with a penis in their mouth.
Kinda.
Okay, again, I go back to Sanjeev Bhaskar.
I had a lot of work done to make me look so beautiful.
So someone who's into property building.
Glamorous.
I have some friends in the mafia that are with me right now. I'll just hand the phone over.
Okay, oh God.
Yeah, come
in. You, Joey, there's a problem here. We gotta tell the boss. Catherine's not doing a very good impression of you.
Says this guy,
I'll come kick your ass. I'll get one of my boys to come over there. They're gonna kick your lily white ass in the next week.
No, the boss is not gonna be very happy with this.
Your boss. I wipe my ass on your boss.
Come back, please. Yeah, thank you. He gets a bit feisty.
Okay, Matthew and Michael, thank you for your call.
Some kind of mama duke.
What just happened?
I don't know. Very famous mother, if anyone was trying to play along at home.
It was Jackie Stallone.
Well, obviously it was Jackie Stallone. Well, a very famous woman. Ben, don't let me read your ass. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And just put that spotlight back on me. Thank you. Let's go to Becky the... I like this music,
by
the way.
Yeah, Becky.
It's Becky. By the way, Monday's show is being hosted by Jackie Stallone, so that's going to be...
Sure is. Get your ass kicked in now.
Let's go to Becky the Witch. Good evening, Becky.
Hi.
Hi, Becky. Hello. Sorry you've joined us just as the LSD is starting to kick in. She spoke just 20 minutes ago when we hadn't come up yet, but now my eyes really are bobbling.
Are you sure it's LSD or something that I might have slipped into your drink earlier?
Oh!
A witch's brew!
She's put a spell on us. How are you, Becky?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What you got for us tonight?
I was just going to ask you, really, how the spell worked for you.
It worked. We cast a spell. Was it last week or was it this week? I get confused by time.
It was last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday.
Hot love spell.
We cast a spell to create love, not like filthy love.
No,
you know,
not negativity.
Yeah, not bum love. It was just.
Stop mentioning nasties.
It was just to create a feeling of love around the thing. We had at least three people tweeting us saying it had worked for them. We didn't have anyone tweeting us saying it hadn't worked.
No.
And we had about three or four people tweeting saying it worked. And I have had pretty good week since then.
That's
I've got a year clean. I've passed my motorbike driving test in 36 minutes. It's my cat's 20th birthday. I'm having... Things seem to... The spell seems to have worked.
Yes, I've had a good week myself.
Yeah, go on.
On the whole, I've had a good week. I've had a few downs, but
can't blame that on me. That's nothing to do with my spell.
No,
Could have been worse without the spell.
No,
would have been worse.
Not blaming anything on the spell. All I'm saying is that yes, it works, and noticed as well the tweets that people have sent.
Here's the thing. How do I make money out of my obvious skill?
Oh, you make money. Oh.
I've got the gift. I want to monetize it now.
Well, you know about karma, don't you?
That's when you meditate and you get karma, yeah. I'm feeling calmer than I was a while ago. Yeah, I know karma. Of course I know karma. I'm a bright guy. Very bright, spiritual man. Very, very bright guy. So I'm calmer now, so I'd like the money.
No, I mean, what you bring into the spell, what you want from the spell, you need to take out of the spell get what you want.
Okay, so...
You want a money spell,
yeah.
That's all...
It's different. That's a different...
Well and good, but something bad could happen to help.
Could something
balance that out? And
well, exactly.
Money.
Would the bad thing have to happen to me, or could the bad thing happen to someone else, like Catherine?
It could happen to someone else.
Okay,
yeah,
that's great. I'm up for that. I'd be fine, but I would get money.
Might not be Catherine though.
But I would get money.
But what about if it happens to someone
that you like?
Yeah, in your family or whatever, you know.
I'm trying to think.
These are the things
be
that
right.
you need to take into consideration, Ian.
I'm prepared to do that deal. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, wow, okay.
I want money. I want a lot of money. And if Catherine gets a cold or, a bad haircut, that's what we're talking about, right?
I don't actually dabble with money spells and stuff like that, so no, that's not the sort of thing that I do.
Okay.
I deal with.
That's a shame.
Sorry.
That's a shame, Becky. We'll have to tweet out
for another witch for that. I'm sorry.
I sent a tweet out for an evil witch. We've had a nice witch, and she was great.
It's not evil doing money spell. It's just...
Greedy. A greedy witch.
No, it's not necessarily greedy. It's just...
Grasping.
Yeah. Yeah, Catherine's right there.
Yeah.
It can be very grasping and also... As I say, as well, it can cause problems.
Yeah, okay. I mean, do you really want what you think you want?
Yeah,
when you get it, you might not want it.
I want some money. I want money. That's what I want. I want a lot of money, and I want it now.
It's never enough.
Never enough. All right. Well, Becky, I won't do a money spell then. Not in public.
Okay.
I will keep that private. But let's just say, when I come back smoking, I really want to smoke a cigar.
Don't.
And that's, you see what I'm dealing with, Becky?
Yeah.
I just want to
someone who understands addiction.
No, I
don't, because you don't dabble.
I just want to smoke.
You'll start with a cigar, then you'll be lighting a flipping didgeridoo.
Imagine a didgeridoo packed with Becky.
Exactly. It all starts with a cigar.
Okay, all right. Okay.
No.
I understand addiction myself. I did some drugs in my early 20s, late teens, so. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Listen, drugs aren't cool, but cigar isn't a drug. Cigar isn't a drug.
It is a bit, yeah.
It's a drug for pussies, right? I did much harder stuff than cigars.
All right.
So I can do cigars standing on my head.
Okay, let's flash forward 10
days. You should have seen what I was shoveling into me. All right, Becky. Hey, listen, thank you so much. I'm only joking about the money spell, of course.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
I am going to be sacrificing a goat tonight at midnight. I am.
Oh, cool.
Becky, thanks so much.
See if you can cast any demons as well and let me know.
Oh, God, she's outrageous. I will do, Becky. Thanks for your call. Take care.
See you soon.
Bye-bye. There you go. It's Becky. Becky is our witch. She's our witch. She's a good witch, and that's our witch.
What's going on?
Let's get this out of the way. George.
Hello.
You said something last night.
Yes.
You upset quite a lot of people last night.
Because of said playing Nigel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I recognised that was probably the wrong thing to say, so I apologise if I upset anybody, but it wasn't... it was just me, as I say, being of the mind that everyone is playing the part.
OK, that's how I interpreted it as well, but I know that some people didn't interpret that way and they felt slightly mean.
I apologise
for that.
All right,
fine, cool.
Also, when I called, I was suggesting changing the name of the program.
Yeah, what was that about, the late night surgery? I didn't quite understand that.
Well, much of your program recently sounds like some sort of surgery, so that came to mind. But maybe the late night alternative surgery. I don't know. Just has a ring to it. I haven't made any progress with me trying to get a story in the newspapers. No. But
I tell you now, it will not get. I don't know what the story was, but it will not get in the papers because the papers. I haven't been in the papers for ages. They're not interested in me. I've been in a few online, you know, news websites, but not in the papers. They're not interested in me anymore. That's worn off.
Well, I think they would have been if you would have done what I asked you to do yesterday.
It was my fault.
No. I just said I wanted to turn our conversation into a podcast, and I wanted to link you to a conversation I had with the late Mike Dickin on YouTube, open up an investigation into how Mike Dickin died, essentially.
He had a heart attack and crashed his car.
That's what they say.
Oh, come on, George. Come on.
It was two days...
Come on.
2 days before he was going to do a special programme on Talk Sport in which he was going to prove that Princess Diana had been murdered.
So you're saying that Mike Dickin was murdered?
Maybe.
Oh, come on, George.
No, maybe.
He's got family, man. That's nonsense. He was an incredibly overweight, unhealthy... gentlemen, why does a heart attack seem so unlike? Who would drive? Didn't he live in like Devon or Cornwall and would drive for hours to come and do the show and hours back? Why does that seem just so unlikely?
Just the synchronicity of what happened.
No, it's not synchronicity. It's a coincidence. It's a coincidence that.
Yeah, but you know, I don't believe in coincidence.
Well, you should do because to suggest that someone was murdered when they actually died in a really tragic situation and accident.
It's the timing of it. Anyway, it was what the conversation I was trying to tune people into was one I had with him in 1985. He was on Capital Radio at the time.
Just to flag up the point that I made yesterday, all of your phone calls are about other phone calls, and this phone call is about another phone call.
To a different radio station.
Yeah, it's about another phone call.
In 1985.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.